Hello, welcome to the Mazer Patrol podcast. I am, as always, Kevin, and today I have a cool panel of cool people to talk about this weird new generation of Ultraman that we've been experiencing for the past decade now. So let's just go ahead and introduce everybody. First of all, Alex.
Hi, I'm Alex Rushdie. I run a blog and a YouTube channel called Control All Monsters. I also have a video game company called 13AM Games that made Dawn of the Monsters, and a toy company called Seismic that makes toys. Most relevant to this conversation, we make Ultraman toys. So, yeah. I'm an official licensee of Ultraman, but I in no way represent their views, to be clear.
Yeah, I think we're going to have to go with the same disclaimer as we did when we did our Ultraman Trigger review, that, you know, not, even for those of us that are in any way affiliated with the brand, these are not in any way representative of the brand as a whole. So, yeah. You know, our opinions are our own.
And we've got no secret insider information to share. None of us work for Subaraya.
Yeah. All right, Connor.
Hi, I'm Connor. I run, it's on hiatus right now, Easter's Kaiju Compendium, where I've been cataloging a lot of behind the scenes information on all the various Ultra Kaiju, which netted me a job writing for Ultraman Connections a few times as a freelancer. I've been into Ultraman about as long as the New Generation series has been out, so it's going to be kind of fun going through all these shows that I watched in real time as a newer fan back when they started in 2013.
Well, cool. Was that Jared clearing his throat there?
Oh, yes. Hi. Hello. Yes, that was me. Hi, I'm Jared Faust. I work in the film industry, and I do independent giant monster movies, analog-based practical effects, etc., under the name Xenofauna.
Cool. And that is our panel. So basically what prompted this kind of impromptu call here is that Ultraman Decker has recently wrapped up. We're getting the movie in about a week. But I was looking back and thinking, like, this has been basically a decade now of this, what they're calling the New Generation Ultraman shows, basically starting with Ginga and going through Decker, and it's definitely its own creative outlier in terms of the overall gestalt of the Ultraman franchise. And this is significant. It's gone on longer than any other era that we've had in Ultraman. If you look at, you know, the 70s or the 90s or the 2000s, we usually will run into, you know, a stopping period, and then there'll be kind of a little bit of a direction change. And with New Generation, we're, you know, more or less doing the similar things throughout this whole run, and it seems like they've figured out a formula that's worked for them. But I think it's worth investigating, like, how did we get to this point, and what makes this generation different from what came before it? So that's why I have gathered this hive mind here, this Triforce plus one, and
the middle piece,
the three musketeers.
And I thought we could just have a talk about it, as well as, you know, sharing some of our thoughts on Decker, because that recently wrapped up, and kind of how we want to see things go in the future.
A couple of us just finished it this morning.
So I think the first thing that we might want to talk about is, how did we get here? And that was part of the conversation that we were having, is where do we actually start New Generation? Because obviously, like, Ginga seems like the obvious starting place, because that's the 2013 Ultraman. There hadn't been a full Ultraman series since Ultra 7X. But you can see kind of the starts, both behind the scenes and creatively within the content of the show prior to that.
Mm-hmm. It feels ahead. Like the new filler show they're doing seems like it's kind of hinging on Zero as the beginning, or at the very least, one of the things I noticed this morning when I was finishing Decker, one of the ads for New Generation Stars, it seems specifically like they were using footage from Zero Fight, which was the first Retsudden original. So maybe maybe that's what they're kind of considering the start. I don't know.
I've always kind of felt that like the like it always felt to me like Ginga was the start of the New Generation just because it was like a show, you know? And it seems like in terms of, I mean, Super Eye seems to flip-flop on what they'll consider New Generation, but like New Generation Climax was like from Ginga to Taiga. And we were talking about this a bit before we started recording, and it's like, well, I mean, Zero is kind of the start of New Generation, even though he didn't have his own show. But Zero debuted in Ultra Galaxy Legends, the movie, which itself is based on the series Ultra Galaxy Mega Monster Battle, which started like a month and a bit before Bandai secured a 33% stake in Super Aya. That was in January 2008, right? So
yes,
you could make the case that Mega Monster Battle Ultra Galaxy is the like the show is like the start of New Gen, but then Kevin was saying that you could make the case like maybe Mebius is the kind of the start.
I think if we're making the case that like Mebius is, then like shouldn't Max be the start of New Gen because
that's,
like
that's the natural progression.
To me, actually,
the show that started the New Generation series was Ultra Q.
Is Super Aya being sold like not just Bandai but specifically going to what was it TYO originally
and then to Fields. On Jared.
No, you should because my train of thought just died.
My sort of perspective is this is kind of how I view it. I think Zero occupies an interesting space within the dichotomy or like the groupings of like different Ultramen, because we kind of have characters similar to him that kind of show up in like weird in between periods, like Great Empowered, you know, they're from M78, but they're not Showa Ultramen because they were made in the Heisei era. But they're not part of the Heisei grouping because Tiga is the start of that Heisei era for Ultramen, you know? I think Zero kind of occupies that sort of spot, and I think with any long running series, especially like this one, it's not just like the changes happen like right away. It's kind of like a ship of thesis sort of thing where it's like a piece is added here, a piece is taken away here until we get to like Ginga, which that was some time between Ginga and Mebius. So they're kind of night and day. But if you watch the shows in between, like, Ultra Galaxy and the Zero stuff, you sort of start to see, like, oh, the more, like, shonen-esque power-ups, the collectible card gimmicks, the
pieces all kind of fall into place.
When did they start using the New Generation moniker? That was in, 2018, 2019? I'd have to check really quick, but it seems like right before then, everything Ginga onwards was still part of the Heisei era of Ultraman. And then once we hit the Reiwa era, it was like, no, this is New Generation. It starts with Ginga.
Yeah, when you watch like the Ginga S movie, for an example, they lump in all of those Heisei Ultramen into that.
Right.
Yeah.
Another thing to keep in mind too is Taguchi said he wanted X to be the definitive Heisei Ultraman show.
Yes.
So, we can discount like at the time of like Ginga and X that those shows and those characters were still considered part of the greater Heisei Ultraman grouping. And then I think as these shows went on, I think honestly, 2016. 2016 is when they started.
The term
using
was
new
first gen- used at the Ultra New Generation World event in 2016.
There you go.
which mm-hmm. I was going to bring up because I know like Ginga and X were like the first two New Gen shows, but I think a lot of the tropes we associate with New Gen really started to come in right when Orb premiered. So that doesn't mm-hmm. shock me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Speaking kind of like, I guess anecdotally or subjectively, it quote unquote, like, I really love Ultra Galaxy. Mm-hmm. The two seasons of Ultra Galaxy, I just like, that's primo to me. Primo yes. Ultra content. But for what it's worth, for me, it doesn't quite feel like New Gen, in air quotes, you know? Even like Ginga Season 1 doesn't quite feel like New Gen, probably because it was so low budget and janky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree.
And I feel like with Ginga S, that's where you start to see like the real like Taguchi style, you know, special effects work. You start to see
Taguchi Sakamoto hybrid.
Yeah, you see a lot of the kind of like form changes and stuff. You start to see like it feels like Ginga was a kind of a test bed, and then X is like the first full fat New Gen show.
Yes,
that's kind of how I've always felt about it, but that's just like feeling, not necessarily any official mm-hmm. declaration, you know, because there's also there was that what a 7-year gap between Ginga and Mabius. You know, if we're ignoring non-Ultraman shows, then mm-hmm. then yeah, that's mm-hmm. how much time there was between Ultraman. That would kind of justify the New Gen moniker.
Go
ahead.
Oh no, I just as far as Zero goes, like I feel like Zero, like not technically New Generation, but definitely the New Generation, like Din Mother.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because like he's in what, like nearly every show at some point or another, and then so, like so for some.
Yeah,
so if he's not in a show, he's in a movie usually, like or you know,
he's like a power up, you know.
Right, you know, like there's always some like connecting back to Zero, and I know that's partially marketing, but also like it just kind of it feels like a defining feature of the New Gen, even if Zero himself may not technically be New Gen.
Mm-hmm. What were you gonna say, Kevin?
So I think one thing that does connect Ginga to kind of what was going on there, and I think that's it's purely budgetary, is that, you know, right after Mabius, we did see this like reduced episode count, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, we've kind of worked our way up to a stable like 25 episodes per year, which is still a different steady state than we had ever gotten with Ultraman before. You know, it would normally be like 50 episodes or like 39 episodes or something like that, as opposed to just 25.
Mm-hmm.
But I can see that being a piece of that fluctuation, you know, on top of the, you know, as we were talking about the toyetic elements.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I also remember Zero. This is like vague memories from 2009. but I remember Ultraman Zero's introduction being somewhat controversial among hardcore fans because it was like, here's Bandai buys a stake in Tsuburaya, and then in the first movie that they produced together, at least I think it was the first, might have been the second, they create this character that is just like more powerful than every other Ultraman.
Yeah, I remember too when like the first look at him was with the Tector gear.
Yeah, the Tector gear armor. Yeah.
Yeah, and I remember a lot of people like, oh, like they're giving him armors now, you know. And it turned out obviously that was just a plot device.
Yeah,
we wouldn't get that until Ultraman X. Which, you know, is the best power up ever. But
oh, for sure. God, I could go on about the X power ups. But no, I remember when I was a newbie fan, I did not like Zero at all because he seemed like somebody's Mary Sue. Like, he's like the son of one of the most popular Ultramen, the secret son of the most popular, one of the most popular Ultramen. And he was also one of the most powerful Ultramen, too. So I was like, God, I hate this fucking guy.
And he's basically very Taro. Explicitly. Sorry, what was that?
He's basically Taro.
He's basically Taro, yeah. And I, to be fair, when I was a newbie fan, I hated Taro too, which I can't imagine ever saying that.
But at least Taro, like, Taro had a series, and I remember it being kind of weird. Be like, hey, there's this new Ultraman. We're going to merchandise the shit out of him, but he's not going to have his own show.
Yeah, I remember for there were like rumors of a Zero series for years.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Ginga also, like, he had a show, but it was piggybacked on another show. And, you know, we got like, what, 5 episodes or something, and then it went on hiatus, and that was very
strange. Yeah. It really killed the momentum there. Like,
yeah, let's talk about Ginga. Let's get right into it.
So it was all like damage control, though, wasn't it? Like,
it essentially was, because from what I've heard, you know, we remember that one article that was like kind of doomsaying about like, oh yeah, this art form's dying. This is the latest Ultraman show, it's dead. From like the New York Times or something. Does anyone remember that?
Vaguely.
About Ginga?
About like Ginga and just the state of tokusatsu at the time.
That's I don't recall that. I remember feeling it in my heart.
So yeah, that was a dark time for Ultraman. I remember like I got into Ultraman in 2012 and through the original show. I'm like, oh my god, there's like this show was great and there's like 30 more of these things. Oh my god, I'm so excited. And there's a new one coming out. Oh, this is gonna be awesome. His name Ginga that means galaxy in space. Oh, I bet it's gonna be like a space opera, or he's gonna like fight space monsters or something. This is gonna be cool as hell. And then the first episode came out with all the toys, and I'm like, oh. It felt so alien and different from like the original Ultraman show, which I loved, that I was like, Ultraman's dead. Like, it's cheap. It's a toy commercial now. It's dead. Like, there's no getting around it. It's just dead. And I watched like the first 3 episodes, and they just felt very off-putting. It felt cheap. It felt like someone's like YouTube Ultraman show or something.
Mm-hmm.
The special effects weren't very good. Music was great though. I still thought the music was great back then. And then the hiatus came on, and I was like, I just do not care anymore. I just do not care anymore. I'm just gonna watch all the Showa and Heisei stuff, and then just call it good once I get done with Mebius.
Yeah, I came into it like during like Nexus Max Mebius. And so, like, you know, I was like aware of like all the issues Tsuburaya was having behind the scenes, but it's like up through Super 8 Ultra Brothers, like, oh wow, this is great, they're doing great stuff. And then, you know, I was enjoying the Zero movies, and then we hit Ultraman Saga, and I'm just like, oh no, I don't like this at all. And then going into Ultraman Ginga, and like, yeah, having the same, like, oh, it's dead now, isn't it? It's dead now. And just very pessimistic about the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, Ginga really, like, it changed a lot of the dynamics. And, I mean, you can see pieces of that in prior things. Like, you know, in the movies that we had prior, like, those were even more extreme because we didn't even like have Earth in those movies by and large, and it was basically Andromelos again.
Yeah,
but you know, when we get to Ginga, you see stuff like this penchant for you know, these form changes are based on legacy characters, and kind of that's the way that the nostalgia flogging is going. And you get, you know, you can go back to the Ultra Galaxy series, where it's this card game where people have monsters from the past, or even the capsule monsters in Mebius, but like, it's codified, I think, in and then from then on it's like, okay, so and so is gonna borrow the power of so and so from the past to get their new power up or whatever, new
doohickey or sword or something. And like, and I think that, like, I've said this before to you guys, but I think like Max was really, I don't want to say the beginning of the end, because there's a lot of shows that have come out that I really enjoy. Mm-hmm. But ever since Max, every Ultraman show, you know, I think the only exception is probably Neo Ultra Q, but even then that's like a, I guess, a new Ultra Q. But every show since then, you know, whether it be Max, Mebius, Ultra Galaxy, 7X, the new gen stuff, and even Shin, is about kind of milking that nostalgia for like the past.
Mm-hmm.
And like, there's a lot of times where it works really well. I enjoy seeing older characters and monsters come back, but like, I think we've definitely hit critical mass at this point. And it does make me wonder, like, what will Ultraman look like in 10 years from now? Are we going to, will we ever see like a Nexus style reboot of Ultraman? Will we, or will it just kind of be more fusion stuff? I was actually kind of shocked when they, when Zet was going into fusions again, because I was like, they've done this, they did this 2 years in a row, a couple of years ago. Like, they're still doing it. We're still going to do this.
I mean, yeah, even when we got it for G, there's like, this is very quickly becoming an Ouroboros. Like,
yeah. I think
a great direction.
With Ginga wasn't quite into the full on nostalgia bait yet. You know what I mean? Like,
it was there though.
I mean,
you had like,
but like they like, so because the Ginga is a weird ass show.
Yes.
But it's important to understand why it's a weird ass show, and it's because like, so like in 2007 Tsuburaya like got bought out 80% right by TYO.
Yeah.
And then 2008 Bandai gets 33%. I think later that year, or maybe in 2009. Bandai gets 49.9%, and then TYO sells off their remaining 51.1% to Fields. So during the, like, that's happening in the background, right? Where Tsuburaya is like getting passed around and sold off. And then
I'm sorry, just one thing. I thought they sold to Fields after Ultra Galaxy Legends underperformed. So like 2009, 2010.
Yeah, that was in 2009. I think 2010 is when TYO sold the Fields, but it was 2009 where Bandai got the 49.9% stake. So at this time, it's just movies that are cheap to produce and don't require as much of a risk as TV shows, because, you know, even if we look at like the budgets for Godzilla films, they actually pale in comparison to the budgets for Ultraman shows. Like a Godzilla movie costs way less than an Ultraman television show. Mm-hmm. That's when like Ultraman Retsuden comes in, and they're just like, we just want to get like keep doing these Ultraman Zero movies and, you know, V cinemas, and we want to do Ultraman Retsuden to keep people familiar with Ultraman, especially children. And then eventually Fields and Bandai were just like, hey, listen, Tsuburaya, you're gonna make a show, but for the first time in the history of the company, it's going to be done with a production committee, right? So
mm-hmm.
Bandai and Fields, they come in and they say, listen, we're going to fund part of this show, but you're going to fund most of it yourself, Tsuburaya. And we're going to have final approval on everything. Mm-hmm. And thus we got Ultraman Ginga, you know, like the cheapest show in the entire series. But it did well enough for them. But I think with you know, with Ginga, like it wasn't entirely original Ultra. It was, I mean, rehashed monsters, sure, but I think that was just because of budget more than because of, like, an attempt to cash in on nostalgia. Like, I don't think there's a lot of nostalgia for Ragon. I don't know. But
everybody loves Ragon.
Everyone loves Ragon, right?
Ragon's an easy suit to build.
Yeah,
so, like, I think if anything, I think Ginga and Ginga S are, if there's any, you know, claims of overusing past Ultraman content, it was simply due to budget. Whereas I think coming to Orb, it's very much clear that, no, this has nothing to do with budget. This has to do with a desire to cash in on nostalgia. You know what I mean? At least that's how I look at it.
I mean, okay, so the one thing I would push back on a little bit, and I'll wrap this in with another question I have. I don't want to get too deep into it. But like this all, like Ginga's kind of the final point of impact, because this goes all the way back, like this is all like kind of coming out of like the 90s, right? Like the financial issues.
Yeah,
because then it just like kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger to Gaia, and then Cosmos was damage control to Gaia, which was damn, you know.
But Max, even then Cosmos, you know, even then Cosmos was just like eating, you know, cash like there was no tomorrow, and like, you know, it. as much as I love that, like, that early Heisei era before Max, like, they were just lighting money on fire for each of those shows. Like, come on.
Right. And so, like, starting with Max, that was then kind of Damage Control. Cause I just feel like ever since Gaia, no matter what the quality of the actual show is, there's always been this kind of undercurrent of desperation that then leads to whatever the next move is. And I feel like Ginga is where that finally kind of comes to a head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because Manatee was changing hands a lot at Super Eye at that time.
Yeah, and then that's why it wound up getting sold off. And then TYO wasn't happy with it, so they sold it off, and then so on and so forth. And then finally we lead up to Ginga, which is the cheapest Ultraman show ever made.
Yeah.
And they've just been kind of digging themselves out ever since.
At least with success.
Oh, no, yeah. For sure. Yeah, no.
They're doing a great job, though. I think a lot of the shows post-Ginga are really a lot of fun, and I think some of them are, I would call some of my favorite Ultraman shows.
Absolutely. Agreed.
For me, I was looking through each thing, and I was trying to figure out, okay, what are my favorite moments from each series? And for Ginga, I don't... I don't really have any favorite episodes.
Like, Ginga S has some good stuff in it, but like
Ginga S has some good stuff. Yeah, Ginga S is fun. Ginga Vanilla Ginga.
It's weird. I think Vanilla Ginga has like, I guess the better. Okay, it's got little Chibi Taro. It's got some decent character moments. Ginga S has like what, two really good Taguchi episodes and some better special effects, but like. I feel like Ginga S is like the Ultraman equivalent of like McDonald's. Like it's just there. It'll do the job, but like you eat it and you're like, I could be eating way better things.
I feel like in hindsight and given hindsight and context, you know, like as much as I hated it when it first came out, I think Ginga is the better show than Ginga S.
Yes.
Like it's got. Yeah. I mean, I have kind of the same thing with you, where it's like, I can't really find an individual moment that I really, really loved about Ginga, but I just think it has more interesting bones than Ginga S. Mm-hmm. Even though it is, I mean, it's still, I wouldn't call it a chore to watch, but it's not one that I'm going to rush back and rewatch.
It's a bit of a slog, let's be honest. Yeah. It's a bit of a slog. At least it's short. I think, too, it's just like, I think now that we've had way better shows come out very shortly after Ginga. It's a lot easier to look back on it and go, this was a bit of a misfire, but it didn't hurt anything. It helped more than it hurt.
Yeah.
Your mileage may vary depending on how old you are and how much of an Ultraman fan you are. But like, I think, you know, it saved the franchise from like dying out, and we got some good shows afterwards. So like, I can't hate it. It's like Powered, except a little bit better, I think.
Yeah, and I feel too, like, I feel like Ginga's presence in the greater new gen has also been, like when he shows up in X and like, yeah, hell yeah, Ginga, you know, like, way more than I expected to.
Mm-hmm. That was a great crossover, too. That one ruled.
I definitely prefer S to Vanilla Ginga, though I can appreciate Classic Ginga a little more. I think mostly just because of nostalgia. But it's still pretty a hard watch for me. The only episode that I can say of the whole Ginga Ginga S saga, if someone was like, hey, you know, I want to watch all the new gen shows, but I just want to watch like the episodes that are good, I'd be like, okay, episode 11 of Ginga S, Gankyu's Tears, just watch that and forget about the rest. Oh yes,
that's the best.
Oh, yeah. That is the one that kind of justifies all of Ginga S for me.
Yeah. And I mean, Five King is kind of cool. It later became a bit of a shtick to combine kaiju, but like, it's also kind of cool to combine kaiju, so I don't really mind that it's become a gimmick.
I think it's fine. It's just, I think Jared will probably have the same opinion. The one thing I miss, and don't get me wrong, I love seeing old kaiju come back, especially if they haven't been seen in decades. But, I really like, I've always, like, the one thing I love about the Showa era stuff and, like, the pre-Max stuff is, like, oh, we're getting a new monster every episode. Yeah. And, like, mm-hmm. they're not all going to be winners, but they're going to be weird, they're going to be cool, you know, simple. Like, you just don't know what you're going to get, even if it's, like, a tribute to, like, a past
creature.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to get something new and they're going to do something fun with it.
The agency of monsters has kind of changed where, and you mentioned this on the trigger conversation, that a lot more often the monsters are like thrown out as sort
they're
of
Pokemon moves. Now.
Yeah.
Yes. That's a big issue that I have as well. And a big through line of my favorite shows of the new gen are the ones where the monsters are more classic kaiju.
Yeah.
Agency, like you said, like where they are they're their own thing and the episodes are built around, you know, whatever the monster's doing. You know?
Well, and it's funny because Toho has the same problem, right? Where like they used to make new monsters for every movie, mm-hmm. and then they started to reuse monsters and they started to bring back monsters. And nowadays, I mean, when was the last time we had an original monster in a Toho kaiju movie? Like not counting the legendary stuff?
Mothra. No, it would have been okay. We're not going to count Monster X. I'm not going to count Mega Gears because she's based on the Mega Nulon from Rodan. I guess Orga.
I would count Mega Gears.
I'd count Mega Gears. I don't mind that they took an old idea and reimagined it.
Yeah, I think it is a significant enough reimagining of such a minor character that I don't think you can disqualify Mega Gears.
Which I think is fair, but I guess if we're counting like totally original, you know, monsters, I think Orga was like genuinely the last one.
Yeah. That's a long ass time, you know.
Yes.
And like even if we include like, you know, other media like video games and comic books and rides, it's like
Obsidious,
the trilopods from
the comic book, yeah
so like it's Obsidious and Crystallack, like there's not a lot. And one thing that I'll agree bother, like I don't mind monsters coming back, but it always bothers me when they're like origin or concept is not brought back with them. They're just, hey, we need a monster, so they throw in this suit that they have lying around, like Gazort and Trigger was that,
yeah, right? Yeah.
It had nothing to do with Gazort, and Gazort was actually pretty important in Tiga.
Very important monster in Tiga. I was really upset about when they because I watched a bit of Tiga right before Trigger aired because I wanted to get into it. I was like, okay, I want to make sure I get everything again. And like Gazort, I would say is like, I don't think he's the most iconic Tiga monster. I think Golza and Get and Othor take the cake for that. And I guess Evil Tiga too, but like I think Gazort is like up there as like one of the most iconic Tiga monsters. You know, he had two episodes to himself. The Critters plot line was a recurring thread throughout the show. And the fact that he just kind of showed up as a goon that lasted a few minutes was quite insulting, because I think you could have had in the show, like, what's that guy's name? Hoodram, the blue one, that guy from Trigger. I don't care. The blue asshole.
Yeah, I think
the blue asshole from Trigger. You could have had an episode where he took the critters and made them into Gazort and like prevented traffic from Mars to Earth. You know, and then you could have not only had him be the antagonist and like summoning this monster, but you could have had Gazort have some agency and be like a genuine threat versus just like, oh, here's Gazort. Final 5 minutes. Let's fight. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, I mean, honestly, that was about it for Ginga from what I remember. I mean, the movie was okay.
Hated it so much.
Are we talking the Ginga movie or the Ginga S movie?
I don't even remember. I just remember that it was just like fight after fight after fight in like a video game styled it was bringing back old Ultras and their old nemeses, and I was like, okay, like,
yeah, the Ginga S,
you get to watch them fight. And then I remember Ultra Fight Victory being pretty fun.
That
and
was like, cool. I remember the subtitles for that one were really bad when it first came out, and Ace kept calling the other Ultras he was fighting with buddies. which I can never separate from Ace now.
it was just foreshadowing for Shin Ultraman.
Yeah,
I was not fond of the Ginga S movie. That was another one, because like I watched I think like the first four episodes of Ginga and gave up on it, and then the first four episodes of Ginga S and gave up on it because of like, I mean, it's better than Ginga, but it still was like felt really creaky. And then I saw the Ginga S movie came out, and I don't think I even watched the whole thing until the Mill Creek thing came out. I just kind of skipped around in it, and it was like, some of these shots are really good, and some of these shots are embarrassing.
There's a lot of shots where you can see a full size
fucking tree in the background. You know, just like,
yeah.
What? as someone like very invested in practical effects and miniatures and so on and so forth, I'm like, I get that you probably didn't have a lot of time to make this, but also, why would you do that? Why would you leave that in the frame? You know.
I think one of the other transitions that we see, right, basically with Ginga, like at that time period, is that the Ultraman franchise, like, splinters. It becomes branches of stuff, because you have, Ginga and the new gen shows are running. But the same year you have Neo Ultra Q airs on TV, that's kind of a dead branch. But then you have this manga that starts in Heroes in 2011. You have Kaiju Sakuba that opens in 2014. You have the Ultra Kaiju Humanization Project that starts in 2013 and has like anime and manga and all this other stuff. And also at that time, you had Anno was submitting his pitches for this trilogy that is now finally kind of manifested as Shin Ultraman, but that was also in that same time period when he submitted that first draft. So
I didn't know that.
There's also the Mega Monster Battle arcade game was still pretty mm-hmm. popular.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was still going on too.
And there was also in 2013 is when they started Mega Monster Rush Ultra Frontier. Mm-hmm. It was like kind of like the sequel mm-hmm. to that, and had its own. I think it had a manga and stuff. I don't remember. It had a bunch of other.
There were shorts that were attached to the Ginga movie in theaters and other shorts as well, like Dino Tank Hunting and those are really cool.
I really wish they used that Balton suit that they used for promoting Daikaiju Rush in a show.
I would love to see that show.
So cool.
Like, it looks so cool.
I remember when Ginga was coming out and they had Ginga at some press conference with that suit. There was like this rumor going around that Balton would have been the main villain of Ginga. And I was like, and man, I wish, dude. Like, come on.
I really like Dark Lugiel's design, but freaking Balton, not Cyber Balton, but whatever the hell it's called. It's like, it's so cool.
Balton in general has been gone from the mainline shows.
Has Balton been in any new gen shows?
No, Balton. I think
the Ultraman X movie.
Probably. He shows up in the Ultraman X movie and Destined Crossroads. Mecha Balton from Andromeda shows up. If we want to count that, but Balton has been pretty absent since Max, unfortunately.
That's so weird. Like, surely I'm not alone in thinking that Balton is the Ultraman villain, right? I mean, iconically, like.
I mean, I always kind of mentally treat him that way, you know, for sure.
I wonder. I was shocked to learn that he was not going to be at all represented in Shin.
I thought, like, of all the villains, like, I'm not saying Zarab and Mephiles aren't, you know, iconic Ultraman villains, but, like, fuck, like, Gabora over Balton? Are you kidding me? Are you high, Higuchi? Are you high, Anno? Like, come on.
Yeah.
Well, they did rationalize that, that, you know, there were some conversations about how, and this is one of those things where I think there's a translation hang-up that,
Oh, I know exactly what you're going to say.
He said something along the lines of, like, Balton is too pathetic. But, like, no, what that means, like, literally, pathetic means, like, full of pathos. Like, you feel bad for this character.
Yeah.
And, you know, in terms of the stuff that was that was kind of floating around was that this idea that, you know, Bolton is a very tragic figure, and, you know, that didn't really fit into the...
I mean, yeah, I definitely get that, because I remember when I first got into the community, there were a lot of people who were kind of complaining that Bolton had been less of a villain, and now it's like, oh yeah, no, you have, like, the one bad Bolton of, like...
Yeah.
And then the more I kind of got into it, and I watched the original Bolton episodes, I'm like, oh no, I actually get it, that yeah, and we have the conversations all the time now. The Ultraman's a dick.
Yeah, well, and like I'm not a huge Cosmos fan
or something.
Huh?
He killed like how many Boltons in the second episode?
2 billion. Like 2 billion. He killed 2 billion Boltons.
A lot, and that's why honestly, like I'm not a big Cosmos fan, but I actually appreciate how he's represented in the Cosmos. Is it the second movie? I
don't remember. Movie.
First movie?
First movie, yeah.
Because it's like hey, you know what? Like, Bolton's not a bad guy. He's just...
Yeah, I really like the Ultraman Max Bolton episode.
Yeah,
I do too.
It feels very similar. It feels like a better version of that movie story.
Yeah.
Which, they were written by the same guy too as the second episode where Bolton first appeared. So you kind of see that sort of like... character arc for Bolton.
Yeah.
There was also an unmade Ultraman movie in the 90s, which would have featured Bolton teaming up with Ultraman's son, so to speak. And that's kind of the genesis of the Max and Cosmos stuff with Bolton, interestingly enough. But that's a topic for another.
That's really interesting, yeah.
But it is interesting because in all of the other stuff, Bolton is pretty saturated. Like, Bolton is the manager of Kaiju Sakuba, like the Ada Sick is kind of like a cicada person, but, you know, is also clearly Bolton inspired, and, you know.
Yeah,
I'd be very interested, you know, if they did, I feel like if they ever brought Bolton back as like a proper villain, I'd be interested if they did kind of like what they did with what was it, Ultraman Story Zero. Where it's like the cicada people like actively sabotaged the Land of Light at the beginning of it all, and so they're kind of intrinsically linked, and that kind of gives them a more villainous bent other than just like, oh yeah, we're trying to find a new place to live, y'all.
Should we move on to, I guess, X?
Yeah.
Because, shout out to New Ultra Q. It's not a new gen Ultra show, but if you haven't watched it, you should watch it.
It's one of the best. It's
really, really good.
In my top five.
Yeah.
But I'm X is like possibly my favorite new gen show.
If Taiga didn't exist, X would be my favorite.
Same.
I will admit, I haven't seen Taiga yet because I took Tsuburaya at their word that they would release it. And I expected like a Blu-ray and waited around like a fool. And now I'm just like, I should just watch it.
Well, that was your first mistake. No.
But like I was looking at each show and I was trying to, you know, doing that thing where, which episodes would I recommend? And for X, I had so many to recommend. Mm-hmm. It has like, for me, it's a pretty traditional Ultraman show, but I remember watching it when it came out, being so relieved that it was like, okay, we're back to a science patrol, we're back to the more traditional Monster of the Week. Like, that first episode for me was incredible. The special effects, the new monster.
It was breathtaking.
Oh, it was fantastic.
When that trailer first dropped, you know, when we were hearing rumblings about X, I was a little worried, like, oh, is this going to be good? Because I liked Ginga S, but I was like, this is still not like what I'm wanting in Ultraman. So is this going to be good? And then when that first trailer dropped and then we got episode one, it was like, we've got new monsters. We got a cool new Ultraman. It's back to Monster of the Week. We have a genuine science patrol again. It felt like a return to form, which I think it is.
And you know, I also think like over the entire arc of X from the beginning to the movie, to me, like they you know, Taguchi had been working with Tsuburaya for a couple of years at that point, you know, starting I think on Ultra Zone. Yeah. And even on Ultra Zone, like, that was, like, back, you know, short, not long after, like, G and Gahara. And it's like, yeah, this guy's a genius. He has no money, and he's doing some really cool stuff. Mm-hmm. And then, like, when he got the reins, like, when they handed him the reins of the entire show with Ultraman X, like, you really feel it. Like, it really feels like, I don't know, I'll ever do this again. Like, let's go for it, you know?
Yeah, it definitely does. And it's such a... For me, it's such a well-balanced show. Like, so my favorite episodes are episode one, which is just a solid episode with great special effects. It's a great introduction. And I love the gag where Daichi turns into Ultraman and then immediately freaks out because he thinks he's up really high. Like,
yes.
Episode five, which is where Zero comes in, is actually really fun and funny and has that kind of Western vibe to it. Episode 10, We Are Nebula, which is, like, funny and
heartbreaking. Oh, I love that one.
Oh, that's
that
was so charming.
That's one where the title is, like, a pun, and it just does not translate into English at all.
what's the pun exactly?
So, Seon is youth, and and Seon is Nebula, so the We Are Youth is, like, a sports a drama, so, like.
Yeah. Oh, that's fantastic. I love it.
But it's still love that a great episode. Even more now. Like, that's, I think the, God, I don't know. Like, I think with X, it's like, I can't think of a bad episode. Like, the crossovers are good.
I can't either. They're all good.
I can think of one, but the special effects are still really good. I really dislike episode three.
Okay. I'm curious as to why, because I really enjoyed episode three for what it was.
I thought it's still Taguchi doing effects, like the cinematography, the effects, all really good. I really don't like what they do to Asuna.
Oh,
it's not even that. It's like they kind of play up her femininity, which is fine. But what really bugged me was that, like, they don't really resolve her plot at all. They just kind of conveniently knock her out so that the boys can resolve everything.
Yeah, I remember just, that being weird.
Yeah, it was just that, like. And it's like, it's not that she has a feminine side. Like, that's fine. Like, that's, you know, sure, whatever. It's that ultimately the fact, it still felt like the fact that she was the girl character meant that she wasn't allowed to have her plot resolved, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it was weird.
Which I think that becomes a much bigger issue for me going into Orb, but we'll get there.
I also really liked episode 13. Which is End of the Rainbow. It's where Damaga comes back as Tsurugi.
Oh, yeah.
That whole three-parter is incredible.
Yeah.
I remember losing my mind when they brought back the other Guara siblings for that. I'm like, no way.
Yeah, no, I just remember that whole, like, the whole End of the Rainbow thing. Like, because that was back, my friends and I did, like, group watches of X. And I remember that episode. It was just so frantic and so fast paced, and just every second minute of the episode, we were screaming.
It's crazy. it starts at like 11 and doesn't really let go. Like from the it opens with a fight, right?
Yes.
Two of my favorite. Sorry.
Oh, I was saying Grease is like one of the best final antagonists in any.
Oh movie.
Yeah.
Genuinely terrifying villain.
I think Grease is like the best new gen final boss.
I'd agree.
I as far as final bosses go, I don't think it's not my favorite final episode.
Yeah, maybe not final episode, but like as a new
character. as a villain,
I think Grease like is just, you know, like he's based off like their memories of Zedan as kids. I think in like 20 years from now, like we're going to see Grease be treated like some kid is going to grow up having watched X and then make a villain that's even more terrifying than Grease.
I love that.
I saw X when I was in my 20s and I was like, God, this is actually a really scary guy. Like this.
Yeah.
He's creeping me out.
It's horrifying. Yeah. It's really that horrifying. Laugh.
A lot of people feel like, forget the name of the monster, but one of the final monsters in SSSS Gridman reminds me of Grease.
Oh, the anonymous one, the nameless one. I've heard he might have been based off Grease a little bit. I'm not 100% sure. I wouldn't be shocked though.
Episodes 17 and 18 are like two of my favorite episodes of Ultraman.
Are those the Taguchi two pair?
Yeah, so 17 is the one that involves the captain's daughter is getting married.
Yes.
That's a good one. That's a really good one.
I sobbed.
It's so good. And then 18 is the one where it's shot on a camera, like a special TV report inside.
Oh, the cops episode.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love that one.
So
that one is
Monster Magnitude 9.
So Taguchi clever.
Directed an episode of that that was the same style. So I think he was repurposing that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was great. Like it was, and that is like piggybacking off of that. It is one thing I will say. Ever since Ginga S, whether I particularly love the series or not, and I can't say it for Trigger because I didn't finish Trigger, but aside from Ginga and Trigger, every new gen show has had at least one episode that I would consider like a franchise all-timer.
Yeah,
they've always got at least one episode that's
and X has like five or six of them.
Yeah,
which is why X is one of the best.
Yeah, and I also the last episode for me that I was like, this is primo, was episode 21 where he finally, like, quote unquote, resurrects Gamora, but ends up having to blast him back into being a toy.
Yeah, that was a good one with the where he does the thumbs up. Man, X is. I want to just rewatch X. I might just do that.
I will say the Gomez episode too. I think is the best Godzilla movie we've had since probably GMK.
Yeah.
Like it is like Ultraman made the best Godzilla movie we've had in 20 odd years. I knew it was coming out on November 3rd. Then they're doing Gomez. Ha ha ha. And then just like how hard they went with that, but then also like giving it this like genuinely touching story. It's just like, y'all are geniuses. What are y'all doing?
That was a really, really good episode.
So good. And then can we talk about the power ups for X?
Yeah, let's do that.
I have always been kind of on the fence about form changes in Ultraman, and I'd say Ultraman X is the first time where it's like, I am totally on board. I know people like, oh, toyetics, armors, etc., but just like adapting previous monsters as armors on top, I don't know. I just...
Like what Victory did, but like...
Yeah, it is kind of an evolution of what Victory did, but not as obnoxious, I think. I think it was just kind of weird how Victory did it. His arm would become like Red King's arm or something. I was like, how does that work?
Like, it was interesting, but like, yeah, when X like did the cyber armor, it's like, yes! And I remember being really disappointed, not so much with Orb, because that felt like when G decided to do fusion forms again, I felt really disappointed because like I really wish they'd leaned into the monsters as legacy more than Ultraman. I feel like there's a lot more room to grow there.
There's also like what, 1,000 Ultraman there's like 1,000 different Ultraman monsters too. So like you don't nearly do repeats of prior characters as much if you're going from the monsters. I really like the X power-ups. I watched a bit of Gridman before X premiered, and I was like, oh, this is just like in Gridman, this is cool. And to me it's just like I really like Ultraman shows where like, and this of course happens in every Ultraman show, but like where the attack team really does help out, like they're not just putzes, they really do help out Ultraman with their gadgets or their they're a team. And I think that just felt like a natural evolution of like what we saw in like Mebius, where, it's like we're inventing armor and weaponry for Ultraman to help him fight. So I don't know. I just thought it was really cool. And like they look really nice, too. They don't feel out of place. They don't feel too gaudy or disgusting looking. They look really tasteful. Like I don't know. I think they're some of the best power ups we've seen in the series.
Well, yeah, and it's because it's just on top of his form. It's not like, things get wild later on in New Gen, but like these are relatively tame.
It feels to me like more of a justification of a power up than like say, honestly, any of the power ups came before. It's like why do we need to shift colors in order to be stronger? Like why do we need a stripe across the chest in order to wield a sword, kind of a thing. Yeah. Here it is. okay, I'm going to put on this giant armor, and now I have a big gun.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And it's just like, I don't know, like, I mean, it's all toyetics, but for me, that was, it's the one time where the toyetics really worked for me in a way they've never really done before.
I'd also felt this, really though, natural in the show, too.
The thing that and you know, this is like a general note for New Gen Ultraman, is why was there no video game for Ultraman X? Because this is not only does this look and feel like pure video game fuel, like imagine an Ultraman video game where you can beat monsters and then take their armors and use them to fight other monsters. Like, it's clearly inspired by Monster Hunter.
Yeah.
And for some reason, New Gen Ultraman also meant the death of Ultraman video games. So, like, there used to be, through the 90s and 2000s, so many video games. It was a really popular video game franchise. As soon as we hit New Gen, stopped. You know,
We got a Rube video game, but that was like a bunch of mini games.
It wasn't very good.
No.
It was weird to see a digital-based Ultraman with, like, video game style armor not get a video game.
Yeah.
That is weird, yeah. the whole like cyber aesthetic of X, like X is now my second favorite, not my favorite show, but he is my favorite design of all the New Gen, like with his headphones and everything. I just, it's a great modern update to the Ultraman design without feeling quite as wild as like some of like the Gene forms or even Zero. Yeah. Also really love how much of a dork he is.
One thing that really endeared X to me was that he wasn't just like an alter ego for Daichi. It's like, no, he's talking to Daichi.
I always love
that. And they're both, Daichi and X are just huge dorks.
Yeah,
like they're not cool guys. They're just, you know, like that Daichi was like, you know, he was like part of, he was, you know, practically like an Ide of his show, like, you know, the research dude.
Yeah.
You
know? That's true.
So I guess talking on the research front, we do have, on one hand, a character that feels kind of like one of the last of that wave is the kaiju dork, which kind of started with like Tepe and Mabius and then went through Oka in Ultra Galaxy, and then what's her name in X? The one that wants to date Ella King.
Oh yes.
Oh yeah. Rui.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really wish she would use her real voice.
Bubbly.
I had a friend who really hated her. Like, just she had very much the kind of like baby voice kind of thing going on.
Yeah.
And it's like there's one moment in the movie where she slips into her natural voice for a second, and it's just like, yeah, can we have that the whole time? Like, that's great. Like, I like her personality's, I'm fine with it otherwise.
Yeah.
You know, and I really liked in episode 5, like, even though she is, I expected her to be more of a damsel, and that she still managed to, like, you know, partially save herself before the ultimate.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, oh yeah.
No, that was great. Spoilers for the Return of Ultraman, a 50-year-old show that I'm sure most people listening to have seen. I really liked that they did an inverse of the Cicada's deaths when she hijacked her car and like fucking ran over Knackle. Like, that was really funny, you know. Yeah.
I never made that connection. That's fantastic.
But it's a
episode has a lot of like really fun deep cuts in it. You got like the Andromeda's version of Black King from the magazine stories. You've got like, God, it's such a stellar episode. I love it.
Another
defense. I mean, it's all so great.
Another defense team character that I wanted to point out was Dr. Gorman.
Dr. Gorman was great.
He's great.
He's kind of a prototype of what we see in like with Maru Luru in Trigger, but I think he's a little more endearing. I think the idea of this kind of like middle aged alien that's, you know, helping the defense team. It's just fun. He's just a fun guy. Like, you know, he just wants to eat.
I think we're seeing that a bunch, because we got Edo in the anime and Xena and Jeed. Like, mm-hmm. it's like a lot of the old aliens are getting reformed and joining defense teams.
Yeah.
Which I'm fine with. Like, I like the idea of the one thing I really like about new gen shows is that it shows that these alien races, and like we see this in X with, you know, the Nebula House, but like mm-hmm. the alien races that usually were antagonists, you know, they're still individuals. Not all of them are evil.
They're not a monolith. Yeah. I really love that. And I you know, again, we'll get into it with Taiga, but I really like the lengths they take it to.
Well, they do that with the monsters in X as well, right?
Like, yeah.
They're trying to look for a way to
and that's one of the things that reminds me, one of the things that I really admired about X is that whenever they would bring back an old monster, 9 times out of 10, they'd find some new interesting angle on it. Like mm-hmm. Birdon, like, oh, they brought Birdon back. Well, they're making like the nest made of, you know, power poles and buildings and all this stuff. Like, oh, this is fantastic.
Yeah. You know. No, it's like I really like that because I think, you know, as much as I like seeing Ultraman beat the shit out of monsters and like decapitate them and like the Showa stuff, like you look at like Return of Ultraman and like half of those guys that Jack kills probably could have been left alone.
They didn't need to die.
Yeah.
On an island. And
yeah. Oh, I remember in with Ultra Galaxy, it's like, oh yeah, they're bringing back an enemy Ultraman monster, and they're making him the hero. I'm like, okay. And I didn't see Gomera's original episodes until years later, and I watched them. And I'm like, this is so fucked up. Gomera did nothing wrong.
Yeah.
But no, I think that's good though, because like, I think the monsters, you know, or you know, most of the monsters, I think. The Nexus monsters are kind of the exception here, but most Ultraman monsters like have a kind of, I wouldn't say cuddly quality to them, if that makes sense, but like they're very likable. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, like even guys like Zedan and Red King, you don't really want to see them just like get tortured. So like, I think it's always fun when like we have an episode where it's like, no, we're not going to kill Birdon, or, you know, we're not going to cut off the head of Gomer or whatever, because these are still living beings and, you know, they deserve a chance too, unless we have to take them down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've always found it kind of a bit weird when you think about it, you know, not in the vacuum of having seen all the Ultraman shows, but like in a lot of other movies and TV series, usually they don't just like kill the villains, you know, many times in a Godzilla movie, do they just be like, okay, we beat Godzilla, Godzilla goes in the ocean, swims away, he's going to be back in the next movie.
Yeah.
But when it's Ultraman, it's usually like, no, like, I'm going to make sure Red King doesn't come back. Like, fuck you, I'm going to slice you in pieces. Like, hold on a second here, guys, let's chill out.
But, yeah. I mean, how often Red King does come back maybe suggests that's not very effective.
Yeah, they need to. It's more like a pest control kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you've got the monster graveyard, so they can always come back. That's like, true. You know, it doesn't matter who's been killed. They can always come back.
They always come back.
No one's ever really gone.
Oh, boy.
I will say X was the first series where I couldn't ignore the toyetic elements. Mm-hmm. You know, like they're literally holding Bandai 500s, you know?
I could
deal with it. Like, I could watch it, and it's still one of my favorite Ultraman shows. But I was certainly like, okay, this is a new thing. This is not like the Ultraman shows from 5 years ago.
I will say the length and depth to which they committed to the Spark Dolls in X. Like, in Ginga, I'm like, oh, yeah, we're going to use them. It's like a Sentai talisman, you know? But in X, where, like, I think what really did it for me was when you see the research squad and they have all these little terrariums for them. Just like, that's kind of beautiful.
I like that. I like that, you know, too. When X started, I thought it was kind of superfluous to have, like, not only Spark Dolls, but also the little cards, too, for X.
Yeah.
But, like, I do think, like, in that episode where we see the terrarium, and like we also justify that, oh, when X blows up a kaiju and turns them into Spark Dolls, he's just basically putting them in a little spot where they can't hurt anybody until we figure out how to live with them. Like, to me, it justifies.
Honestly, my biggest my biggest complaint for X is the lack of closure there. Because it really felt like it was building to something, and I really wish, like during the movie or something, like we'd gotten like a Monster Island kind of situation.
That would have been fun.
Yeah, like that's my I have my issues with episode 3, and then I wish we'd gotten a little more closure to that storyline.
Manga lore master Kevin, is there any like supplementary post end of X stories or comics or anything?
I think there is a novel, but I'll have to double check that.
Yeah, because I know about you guys as well, but I the movie was like just okay to me. I wasn't that into the Ultraman X movie.
I loved it so much.
It was way better than the previous Ultraman movie, and way better than the previous Ultraman. Theaters. Sure. Like in the U.S., like that was kind of wild.
For me personally, I thought it's still my favorite New Gen movie because it just feels like. I mean, yeah, it's a big episode of the TV show, but again, it kind of felt like another one of those cases where Taguchi is like, "Here, have a feature film," and he's like, "Okay,
yeah,
let's do this."
I guess for me, monster too. Yeah, Zyberg is a cool monster. I will give it that.
To me, I compare it to Mechagodzilla 74, and just that it's, you know, no thoughts, just tokusatsu. Yeah. You know, and she's like, let's go.
Yeah, I guess I think that having a random child in it reminded me too much of like the Cosmos movies. And that's, I was like, fair.
What kind know, of like soured me speaking, because that kid becomes Tiga, but his mom plays his mom is played by Susumu Kurobe's daughter, who was also in Tiga. I thought she was going to become Tiga the first time I saw it. And I think that would have been
I would have liked better, it more. Yes. Yeah,
way better.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree with that. I mean, to me, it's still just like visually and the pacing. It's just like I agree with that, but it's very minor for me.
It's still a pretty darn good Ultraman movie.
Well, yeah. It also has, I mean, that was a 50th anniversary film, so it's got Tiga and Man in it, right? Which is pretty cool on its own.
Yeah, and it also felt like, as far as like big team ups go, everything felt earned. It didn't feel like just trying to slot things in because that's what the lineup was this year. Because like all the cameos, and that's another thing before we move on from X is, damn, I wish more shows did team ups like X did.
Yes. Yes.
Like that's the I don't want to see fusion forms. That's the legacy shit I want to see, is like you have an Ultraman from the past come in, and it's kind of like Ace did too, you know, like you team up and you know you have this
fight a monster. Story.
Yeah, you know, and it felt like the perfect amount. I feel like other shows we've gotten like an episode.
We usually just get an episode in other shows now, but like X was like, here's four of them. Like, you know, you want a Nexus episode? Here you go. Here's an episode about Nexus. Like,
yeah.
They were all fabulous. Yeah. Yeah,
they're all great episodes. Like
one of the few times where Ultraman has an episode in Canada.
Yeah.
That and Gaia, right? I think that's it. So
when you get to the X movie, it's like you don't really – it's fine that you don't really establish them, you know. It's just like, oh, they show up. They're coming back to help one last time. And, you know, that was a bit of closure that I really liked. Mm-hmm. And then, like, you could still just focus on you can't really complain that they didn't get a lot of screen time because they had their own episodes. And you can really focus on the main three there.
Yeah.
You know. It's just such a good show.
One thing that's also worth addressing just on the topic of X in general is that this was simulcast around the world.
It was.
Yes.
It was the first ever simulcast Ultraman show.
Yeah, that was so cool.
I noticed when this occurred in the greater tokusatsu fandom sphere, this was airing the same time as, I believe, Ghost and Ninja, which I'm not super up to date on like what the general fandom opinions are of Sentai and Rider, but like from what I recall, a lot of people don't like those shows, and they didn't like them when they were airing. And I remember hearing a lot of people going, you know, post X, that X was their first Ultraman show. So like, I think, you know, making it accessible to people and making it, you know, free to people, like really helped boost Ultraman. And that's why, like, I think the YouTube simulcast stuff is, like, really ingenious now, because it's like you don't even need to, like, get on Crunchyroll now. You can just go onto YouTube and watch it when it airs.
Yeah.
And I think that's beautiful. I wish they did it. I wish they did that with Taiga.
Oh God, yes, we'll get to that.
We're like five shows away from getting to Taiga, so we'll get to that in a little bit. But no, it's you know, it, and like I have a friend who got into Ultraman because it was simulcast on Crunchyroll. Like, he had a Crunchyroll thing. He knew that I talked about Ultraman a couple times, so he was like, "Oh, I'll give this show a shot." It's his favorite show.
Mm-hmm. Well, I honestly, a lot of I have a large group of friends that I met through G-Fest, right? I mean, how a lot of the people here I met because of that convention. And I remember the first time I went to the convention, myself and my friend Abel, who actually runs the Facebook Ultraman group, we were big into Ultraman because it was kind of that period between Godzilla movies and all that kind of stuff. But a lot of our friends who we knew from the convention that also like kaiju movies still weren't like into Ultraman, you know, they weren't like quite there. But once these shows started simulcasting and it was like, hey, let's just sit down and watch this.
You no longer have an excuse.
Yeah. And now everyone has seen and loves Ultraman. So it's pretty cool to see that.
Stay winning, Ultraman. Stay winning.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is there anything else about X, or should we chat about Orb?
Let's get
go on for hours, so let's move on.
Yeah, that's the thing. X is such a good show. We'd probably just be like, you know, remember that one episode with Max in it? That was a good episode.
I will say that was even though I will say about the Max episode, even though I was like following all the magazine spoilers, that one still genuinely shocked me, because I don't know if it wasn't in the episode, in the spoilers at all, if they managed to hide it, or if it just can't read Japanese well enough to notice it, but like the heel turn.
That got me too.
Yeah, because I remember like I knew Max was coming back, but then like I didn't know about Slansagen, and I didn't know about like the Kaito heel turn and the again, that was another one where we were all sitting around watching it and just screaming the entire time.
Yeah, it plays with a lot of conventions.
All right, let's get to Borb. You know, Ultraman, ponder my orb.
The 50th anniversary show.
It doesn't feel like it.
It doesn't. I'm going to say this. I used to be a big Orb head back in the day, and I still like the show, but like, I think as the years have gone on, I don't think I like it as much. It's still not a bad show in my opinion, but like, it doesn't, like Alex just said, it doesn't really feel like a really important anniversary show. Like, I think X is a better anniversary show than like Orb is.
Yeah, Orb is not my least favorite New Gen show, but I do think it is, to me, the most disappointing of all the New Gen shows.
Interesting. I still really love Orb. I think it's got – I really like the ensemble cast for Orb.
Mm-hmm. I like them too. I kind of like how they're, the SSSP.
Yeah.
They're kind of like the trio from Ultra Q, which I think is cute. I really like Jugless Juggler as like an anti-hero, villain, whatever you want to call it, evil gay man.
well, that's kind of a thing that Orb started and has basically continued throughout, is that you get these like over-the-top, campy, flamboyant human villains. Everything that follows.
Which it's kind of weird, because it's like I think it works well in Orb, because I think Juggler and Aoyagi, you know, how he plays him, really work. And I think there's some shows where it does really work too, but like it does get a little bit predictable as like we go on, and it's like, okay, who's the campy evil guy this season? And like I was actually a little surprised that, spoilers for this show that just ended, when Decker was announced and they had the initial stuff coming out for it, like we didn't really see that. And then Egom's near like the midway point was like, oh no, I'm actually evil. And you were like, I was just like, fuck.
There he is.
there he is.
Granted, we'll get to that in a little bit, but I think Orb, like I was saying earlier, kind of is like, if Ginga got the ball rolling, Orb is like when it goes downhill. Not in terms of quality, but in terms of like what we defined as like a new generation show, because a lot of the tropes, like the fusion stuff, the lack of a defense team, the evil flamboyant villain.
Yeah, and it really feels like New Gen is really solidified, even more so than X. X feels like a blast from the past by comparison.
Yeah,
I could see X like airing after Mebius hypothetically, if that makes sense.
Sure,
in terms of
how toyetic it is. That's the one thing that makes it stand out to me. But see, with Orb, I remember I got to attend the Ultra Fest before Orb came out, and while it doesn't feel like an Ultraman 50th anniversary show, the fact that Orb was an Ultra built around the concept of using past Ultra's powers was new and cool and made sense given the structure of the show.
Yeah.
I was not opposed to it. And I also really I tend to prefer Ultraman when you have Man and Ultra and they can talk to each other and they have differences, like in X or in the original.
Yeah.
But I really like Ultraman Orb's host. I really like this kind
Guy.
Of
yeah.
Guy know. Is cool. I like Guy a lot.
Yeah, he's so cool, and he the way he interacts with the SSSP is very interesting. There's even little hints of romance that sadly never go anywhere. But I liked how this show was doing something different with the Ultraman concept. Whereas, like you said, X felt like a bit like a blast from the past. Orb felt like this is a totally new concept. Yeah.
Yeah, and the thing for me, the reason that I find it so disappointing... I'm sorry, Connor, do you want to say something else?
No, you can go on, Jared.
Before I complain.
Yeah, go complain. Complain really quick, and then I'll go.
And the big thing for me, like, why I find Orb so specifically disappointing is how much I loved everything that was set up. Like, I loved this, like, stripped-down, like cryptid hunter version of a defense team, as it were, I loved the idea of Naomi, like that it seemed like she was kind of the main character, and like she was like this, you know, the spearhead behind this all. I'm like, oh, what's her deal? Why is she, you know? I liked Guy. I really liked how like the set for the SSSP, like I was watching a lot of K-dramas around that time, and it felt like a very like K-drama setup, but with Ultraman, you know, and like, I thought the fusion form seemed neat and Juggler seemed interesting. And I just feel like everything that I liked about the setup, none of it was paid off. And in some cases I was just, by the end of it, I'm just like, why did we do that? And especially with Naomi. The fact that it felt like she was kind of meant to be the main character, but it felt like they kept like kind of shoving her off to the side so that we could have silly antics with the boys. even though like she was supposed to be like the person who founded this whole thing, and I never really got a strong feeling like that made actual sense within the show, you know, like, oh yeah, I gotta babysit these two man children. Basically, you know, while they go have all the fun, and then she keeps getting kidnapped, and they lampshade the damsel in distress thing a bit, but it's just I don't know, it just felt like a really shitty way to handle the character. And then also by the end of it, I just didn't really understand Juggler, even though I think Aoyagi is like a charisma god.
Yeah, I think Juggler, if Aoyagi wasn't playing him, wouldn't nearly be as fun. But like, it's funny, right when the magazine scans came out for Orb, like I was seeing, you know, the cast stuff. I'm like, okay, you know, Wandering Ultraman, you know, SSP, those both sound cool. And I remember seeing Juggler's picture and just going, oh, this is gonna suck. but I think Juggler really, with Aoyagi, really sells the role. And like, I think what he does later on, you know, with the character and like the future stuff post Orb, has some interesting development. And like, but
I guess my big thing with Juggler as a character that I thought of this morning while I was prepping for the podcast is, I don't know what Juggler would have done with the Orb powers. That's the biggest thing. Like, that's his whole hook, is that he wanted to be Orb and he didn't get it. But I cannot, for the life of me, imagine why or what he would do with it. He's just kind of this chaotic energy. And, like, again, Aoyagi is fun. I love him to death. But as a character, I just, like, I don't understand you, and I do not care.
Yeah, I think Orb's a cool character that hasn't necessarily been for various reasons, written into the best stories, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I really enjoyed him in Zet, but it doesn't pay off.
Yeah.
You know? And I think there's a similar thing in Orb. I think he fits better in Orb, but yeah, it doesn't.
And
a lot of New Gen stuff doesn't pay off for me.
It feels like he is a little big, especially in Zet.
Yes.
I guess the way I've always, and this was my theory before we got the entire Ring of Light thing, which kind of threw me for a loop when I was first watching Orb. But when Orb was airing. And, you know, Juggler was the villain. I had this theory, and I kind of wish this was true, but I had this theory that, you know, Orb is, I mean, Guy is Orb's human form. You know, he's like an ultra like seven, but Juggler was his host at one point, and then they had a falling out, and that's why they're rivals now. Like
that could have been interesting. Yeah,
that could have been interesting. I would like to see that in a future show, but then they have the Orb of Light, the Ring of Light thing. And I'm just like, oh, what does this mean now? Like, what are the ramifications of this? But I've always like figured that Juggler, you know, because if you look at him in the Orb prequel, he's a lot more straight laced until shit hits the fan. I think he's just a guy that like the way life has gone for him has just worn him down into becoming a crazy guy.
I definitely get that feeling. But to me, again, I'm sorry.
You're good.
I just don't understand what he would have done if he were Orb. That's the big thing for me, you know.
I think he, I don't know, maybe he would have been like a more like, because if you look at him in the prequel, maybe he would have been a more like serious, no-nonsense Ultraman, kind of like Seven if he didn't get his legs broken in Leo. You know, I think, and we'll get to this in the Zet portion, but like, I liked him in Zet, but like, I kind of wonder like, why is he here? Like, you know, and I know he's like, oh, I want the power of the robots or whatever. But I always figured in Zet, like he just wanted to retire in a dimension with like no Ultraman. And then Zet shows up. And he's like, oh, great. Here we go again. I think it needed some more time to cook. Like there's a lot of interesting stuff there, but like the 25 episodes don't give it a whole lot of focus, especially if we're doing this kind of plot line that was planned for multiple installments, like in movies and miniseries and prequel shows and comic books and novels, all this stuff. It really felt like I was missing a whole lot. And like, maybe if they had made more of, you know, maybe if they did another prequel show after, Origins or something like that, it wouldn't have felt as kind of all over, you know, with lack of focus. But like,
yeah, even with Origin ads, there's like this big gap where I'm like, I have no idea what happens in between these shows.
Yeah, and like,
there's still feels like Japanese, there's something missing here.
Yeah, you can like, look at like Japanese sources, but it just kind of gives you a synopsis like, oh, yeah, Orp was here and he got this crystal. And it's like, well, that's cool. I'd like to see what happens, though.
Yeah. Yeah, because I kind of saw like what Juggler's arc was in Origin. I'm like, OK, I see where this is going. I see. And then at the very end of it, I'm like, wait. I still don't quite understand how we got to episode one of Orb as far as Juggler's concerned.
Yeah, it's not really a prequel.
Yeah, he doesn't quite seem as broken at the end of it as he does at the beginning of Orb. You know, it's like, I feel like there's something you're not telling me here.
So how much of that Ultraman Orb Chronicle do we actually have? Because they had like 10 parts, and like one part is the show, one part is Ultrafight Orb, and then the origin and the movie. But like, you know, the whole like, what? Ancient, you know, 100 year ago Russia arc or whatever, like we kind of like,
from what I've heard, it's been like basically they release a synopsis of what's happened, I think, in magazines and in interviews. But
there was a book too.
There was like I think the very last part was a book.
Ultraman Orb Perfect Super Complete Works.
But no, it's a shame because like I would have been down for like a couple more Orb shows to flesh out the lore, or
in a perfect world, the show would have gone more in depth and we would have had like a 50 episode show that's like, oh yeah, we're going to show you what happened in Rasalka for a little bit, like a 3-episode arc in Rasalka or something. Like I think Orb maybe would have been one of those shows that would have benefited from like a Cosmos kind of style episode count versus granted, I'd be fine with most Ultraman shows being that long, even though I think Cosmos is too long, but I'm also a psychopath, so I don't know.
The Cosmos' issue is less its length and more what it does with it. It's because it's such a budget show in general.
Cosmos like gets to a point where it's like it I wouldn't say it's bad, but it definitely runs out of steam.
Yeah, I think I mean it's kind of the next show, but it's related to this one. As someone who quite enjoyed Orb, I only half enjoyed Orb Origin.
That's fair. Orb Origin like changes into a different show halfway through.
Yeah, it really feel like two totally distinct programs.
Orb Origin, it feels like they kind of took Guy and Juggler and put them in like something that's kind of unrelated to Ultraman. Because you have the space politics, you got this magic tree, you got a giant magic woman, you've got like.
And that stuff I all dug. I love the giant magic lady.
No, I like that too, but it definitely feels like.
Then it heads elsewhere.
Weird. And then the 90s Ultraman show up too. Like, you know, Gamu's here. He's like, oh, I'm here, and I have this anti gravity device. Don't worry.
Seeing Gaia and Agul again made the second half worth it for me.
Oh, yeah.
But like
definitely Agul.
It was also a messy story that I don't understand.
I completely agree that it was a very messy story, but honestly, it's the weirdness of it, especially with how disappointed I was with the vanilla Orb series, but just the weirdness of it and like this bizarre space opera setting. Like Orb Origin is one of my favorite New Gen entries, despite the messiness, just because
it's
the first half I thought was pretty tight. I mean, it's kind of its own story.
It's sort of one of those things where it's like, I'm not the biggest fan of Orb Origin, but I appreciate what it is, and I wish we got more things like it.
Yeah, I mean, I love all of it. Like even the second half, again, all of it's very messy. I'm not going to deny that. But I mean, I thought like a lot of the city visuals and stuff were better done in Orbigen than they were in Vanilla Orb in a lot of episodes. And I liked all the weirdness. I also liked how a lot of the design work seemed very influenced by like Keita Amamiya's cyberpunk days.
Yeah.
You know? Oh man, I wish Amamiya like worked on an Ultraman show. I know he did A Monster in USA, and like he directed. Ultraman versus Kamen Rider, but give him a show. Like,
give him a show.
Give him Heisei. Yeah. Give him Reiwa Ultra 7 or something. I don't care. Like,
yeah.
I also
really liked how Orbigen, it was like the space opera stuff that we've been getting in the Zero movies, but now it was done with a lot more like practical effects. You know,
practical effects, and also targeted at like Orb Origin was the first Ultraman show since 7X targeted at adults.
Yes.
So like it didn't have any of the toyetic stuff, and I was like, oh, this is cool. Like I don't have to hear a bunch of like sparkly sounds and rainbows and then see like cards transform into new Ultraman. It was just like, hey, this is like Showa style. Like he just fucking transforms into Ultraman. That's it.
Yeah.
And it's it was straight to streaming, so it's a different kind of consumer dynamic. And you know, now it's like you've got multiple Netflix Ultraman, but like at the time it was different to not have something on TV but made for the web.
Yeah.
Oh, also the second, I think it was the second opening. I really love the second opening. Was it True Fighter? I love that song.
Yeah. from the original Orb, I the episodes that I remember vividly enough were the Galactron two-parter. I quite enjoyed.
Oh yeah,
I love
that's that. A great one.
That two-parter is like the that's like when I said like everyone has an all-timer. I really love the Galactron. That was my favorite part of Orb. That kind of made it all worth it for me.
Really cool. And like I remember watching at the time, being like, I've never seen an Ultraman arc like this, where he's like, you know, becoming kind of evil and vicious and That was
Thunder Breaster was sick.
And I also quite liked episode 22, The Unmarked Cafe with Nova.
Oh, man. I love that one. I can't believe they rehabilitated Commander Black. Like, but they did. They made me feel sad for one of the cruelest motherfuckers in the series.
Right?
I'm like, God, what a great episode.
Just like thematically, I like the way that, you know, Orb kind of, as he gets stronger, he's borrowing forms for everybody else, and then his final, like, most powerful form looks just like a base form Ultraman.
Yeah. His base form is his final form. I love that.
And when we get into G, like, I will say about the fusion forms is, like, they do a good job justifying it usually.
Yeah.
Less so with Zet, but, like, with Orb and G, like, okay, like, yeah, I like what you're doing here, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Did we want to go to Jeet then, or anything else to say about Orb right now?
It's okay. I like it.
I don't like it. Justice for Naomi.
I guess we touched on this, but it bears repeating that, you know, this is something that we first basically saw with Ginga, and then, you know, it's in Orb, and then with Jeed and Rube, our main characters are not part of a defense team, and the defense team is kind of in the background if they exist at all.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'll also say that I, as someone who liked Orb, I also enjoyed the Orb movie. It is like an extended episode of Orb, but it's just nice to see those characters again. And this is also a general New Gen thing, but like the movies in New Gen shows are basically extended episodes at their best.
Yeah.
Gone are the days of, like, you know, the Mabius movies and Ultra Galaxy Legends, like those kind of movie event movies we don't get those anymore. We get extended episodes with slightly higher budgets.
To me, Orb and especially the movie, especially coming after X, I felt like production quality wise, it all kind of felt underwhelming. Like I don't know. Like the visuals all kind of felt like not nearly. It felt like Taguchi kind of like got so much out of his system with X that when Orb rolled around, it's like, yeah, okay, let's do this. It's fine. Yeah. And like that was one of my big complaints with the Orb movie, was it just didn't feel like as big and bombastic as, you know, the crazy stuff they were doing, like shot wise, you know, with the effects work in the X movie.
Well, I'd agree, but I'd say even the X movie is not as exciting as any of the like 2000s movies, you know, like.
Yeah, I'd agree. Yeah.
Those really felt like movies, so to speak, I guess.
I disagree, but not enough to really argue it, because I don't think you're necessarily wrong either.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I get what you're saying. I'm guessing they probably had the same budget, but it felt like the X movie had a little more cinematic flair than the Orb movie. Just feels like an episode. It doesn't feel
any different. To me, the X movie feels more like, okay, yeah, we have a feature, we're going to pull out all the stops, even though it's still, you know, it's still the same cameras they're using on the TV show, and it's still not the same kind of budget they would have had on, like, the Mabius movie or something, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this feels a bit like, you know, Ultra aping the other franchises that are popular right now in terms of Sentai and Rider, that have, you know, multiple movies come out while a show is still on the air and stuff like that.
Multiple incomprehensible movies of its writer.
Yeah.
The last Kamen Rider movie I watched was Let's Go Kamen Rider, and it's like I don't understand a bit of that.
Yeah, all I can say about the new Kamen Rider movies is I was glad that Kamen Rider Ichigo was watchable without having seen the new series that it was ostensibly based on. Yeah. I just wanted to see jacked Kamen Rider. That's all.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that they kind of do that a little bit in terms of, you know, they know that there are going to be people that go to see the movies that haven't watched the shows just because that's the nature of the beast. And they make them really somewhat simple enough that you can follow along.
Anyways, that was all. So for Geed.
Yeah, Geed.
Geed, I think, is the most unique in the new gen series, in my opinion.
I'd agree. I think Geed. It's funny, when it was airing, I thought it was not as good as Orb, but I think having rewatched Geed and Orb, I think Geed's better. I think it kind of takes what worked in Orb and fixes it a little bit. Like, the fusion stuff, like, has more of a, you know, reason to exist. You know, we got some kind of a more defined storyline going on here. I think it treats its female characters kind of bad. I think Moa is awful.
Yes. Geed is really weird for me because I feel like it's like the opposite of Orb, where with Orb, like, I love so much about what was being set up, and then, you know, by like episode two, I'm already like, oh no, okay. And with Geed, I actively hate a lot of its parts, but I just feel like by the end of it, I'm like, oh, this is one of my favorite new gen shows. It's so much greater than the sum of its parts. So just like, oh wow, this is actually really, really good overall.
Yeah, I think it's, I mean, talking about the cast, I think the cast of Geed is fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, that's where I'm like, the sum of its parts, like, I love all of those parts. Like,
yeah, like,
even Moa, I really like Moa. like
Moa isn't totally terrible, but, like, the whole, like, weird, like, I think her character would have worked better if it, like, she didn't have, like, feelings for fucking Geed. Riku. Thank you.
We get so little romance in Ultraman, period, that for me to see it in a show, in Orb and Geed, I was like, this is actually kind of refreshing because it's a different dynamic between characters than we usually get.
Honestly, I would rather not have it than have it be as cringy as it was in Geed.
Honestly feel like it would have been better if, like, since it was said that she was, like, kind of his adopted or foster sister, if she was, like, you're living where? With what? And you're who? And just, like, started following him around because it's like, my adopted little brother is now Ultraman. He lives with an alien underground and hangs out with a lady with a sword. He's a fucking mess. I need to take care of this kid. Which, to me, I feel like is a lot more... would be a lot more endearing.
I also feel like once Moa and Riku, I think it's like midway and through the series, they actually have like a little conversation about their relationship, and like after that point, I stop hating Moa and she becomes more bearable.
No, that works out. Thankfully,
she also has her own thing, being part of that organization, working with the shadow alien. Like,
yeah,
you know,
I think it was really cool that the defense team in this entry were former Ultraman alien enemies that were like, something is fucked on Earth. We gotta keep our eye on this shit.
Yeah.
I thought that was really cool. I kind of wish there was like a spinoff, you know, show or like manga or something that like detailed like what AIB gets up to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ultraman in Black.
Yes.
That would be great. We also
got two fun alien friends on the hero side this season. We got Pega and Xena. That's great. You know it's a good show if there's two alien buddies on the team.
That's not counting Salaryman Zero running around in the background also.
Not counting him either. Which, by the way, I love Leto. What a great host for Zero. Like, oh my god.
Yeah, I mean, as far as like basically Zero more or less finally getting his own series in the form of someone else's series. Yeah, it was a fantastic incarnation. Like, Salaryman Zero is amazing.
I like the fact that like Leto can't always just jump into action because he's an adult with a job and a family, and he can't just like run off and fight Red King this week because he has to put food on the table. Those reports aren't going to write themselves. Like
that could be its own. Like, there's enough to that concept to make it its own show.
And it's really great they gave so much to it, because it really was kind of like, you can't really do this in a real show, but like, we're going to make it a big part of this show, so you still get that flavor, you know?
Yeah. I quite liked the, I liked some of the monster designs in this. Like, I mean, it opens with Skull Gamora, which I thought was a long overdue concept, you know?
Yeah.
I actually quite dug it.
I really love the concept of the fusion monsters. Like, honestly, my biggest complaint with Jean, that again, I feel they fix it by the end. I kind of like where they go with fusion forms in Jean, in that it's like Jean kind of figuring his own identity out when he's like not supposed to exist, kind of, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, fine, I get it, but in a different world, I kind of wish that he's the son of Belial. It'd be really cool if he was fusing with monsters. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, it'd be cool if, like, he was doing that and had, like, a transformation or doohickey gimmick based on... And he gets one in the movie, the Giga Battlenizer. But I guess we do fusions again. But, like, at least they give kind of a justification. Like, I really loved the episode with Pandanium Zedin, where Kay is like, yeah, you're a clone that we engineered to get all this energy and power from these capsules that Hikari made so Belial can eat you.
Yeah.
Like, you just exist to basically, like, you know, get what we want. And I feel like, God, that was so messed up, in my opinion. I love it. It feels kind of like something they do in a Kamen Rider show.
Yeah.
Because I remember when this show was about to air, everyone was like, who's Jean's mom? Like, who's the mom? And surprise, it was Kay.
I will say, I feel like a lot of people complain about Kay, and I'm just like, I love Kay.
I think Kay's great. I love the idea of this, like, writer who's like, I really want to ride Belial's dick so fucking bad. Like, I'm ready to commit war crimes for that shit.
Yes.
I would have to agree with the general audience that I was not that into Kay, but especially coming off of Aoyagi's juggler.
Yeah,
he didn't.
Like, he's not.
I love Belial. I like that he was in the show. Kay was kind of a weird. I like the idea of like an author, you know, being a villain.
I guess for me, great scenes.
He does have some great scenes.
The hero worship just registered for me better than Juggler's weird chaos. Like, I don't understand what Juggler's deal is. Like, I never feel like I get enough to really vibe with him, you know. And with Kay, I'm like, yeah, he likes Belial. I get that. Sure, let's go.
I like, there aren't as many standout episodes for me in this one. I did like the kind of mid-season Belial battle.
Mm-hmm.
That was cool.
Kaiju pants.
I didn't like the Belial. It looks like Haru Nakajima on the set of Godzilla 54 where he's just wearing the legs.
Like, yeah. I love it, though. Like, it's so dumb, but it's my kind of
it's
dumb.
It's insane. I just thought
it was dumb looking. I didn't like it, but I could see why people do like it because it's so stupid looking.
Yeah. I think Belial looks so cool on his own. I don't like any of his special forms as much as just Belial, you know? Maybe he's a Kaiser Belial. Kaiser Belial is cool because he just has a cape and scars, but like,
yeah,
he's a good design. I like that. I mean, this is where a lot of the transformations start to go, at least for me, like fucking off the rails. Like, Mega Master is hilarious. I mean, I love it. Like, I think it's great, but it's where things start going wild.
It is a bit of a head scratcher. It is like, oh, mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. And it's also where they start kind of fucking around with canon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And just pretending certain things didn't happen and hoping you don't notice. So
what kind of things did you notice, Alex, in terms of what?
Well, like,
one second.
That's all good. It's not clear to me. this is a general new gen thing. I have this. I wrote some notes, and under general new gen, what I call new gen cons, is that a lot of the multiverse stuff that they try to inject into new gen shows is really
confusing
and weird, and it seems like we're trying to have our cake and eat it too. So
that's kind of what's going on. I agree with that.
Right? Like they want to have a series about Ultraman Belial's son, but it seems like it's actually not set in the universe where Ultraman Belial exists.
Yeah,
it makes no fucking sense at all.
So I guess my headcanon is that was the Earth in the main M78 continuity. But when King fused everything, he basically kind of like copy pasted everything from 19 years ago. And so M78 Earth is fine, but we have this new dimension that King created to stop the big bomb. It's confusing. I'm going to be honest. I think Belial's plan in this is kind of wacky. So he builds a bomb that can blow up everything. He successfully blows up everything. But that was actually phase one of the plan. So he's going to have King blow up everything and set it back to 19 years ago. Then he and his boyfriend are going to make a clone of himself and put the clone on the newly restored Earth, so the clone can grow up, and then give the clone the power to become Ultraman, so then he can then eat him.
Yeah, like that.
It's like what?
I feel like it's three jokes away from being a Douglas Adams plot.
I feel like once you build the big bomb that can blow up everything, that's a pretty good final phase. Like you were winning, dude, and then. And so what did Belial do in that time period? He was just hanging out. I know the little stars were, like, in people's bodies and shit after King reset everything. But, like, I feel like he and Kay could have been a little more proactive in finding them, you know, instead of just kind of sitting on their butt for 19 years and waiting for this kid to grow up. Like, what if Riku got hit by a car? What if he got run over by a semi? You'd have to do another person.
Also, while Kay is, like, writing books titled My Evil Plan or whatever.
I need to watch ridiculous. It again, because honestly, the plot was so bizarre, it's all a blur to me. Like, every time I hear someone recount the plan, I'm like, really? Was that it?
it felt like it was being written as the show was being shot.
It's like, yeah, it's like for me, like, what I love about G, it is mostly the vibes, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. If you think strange. Too hard about G, it falls apart like a Nature Valley granola bar, but like,
which I mean, again, I go back to like, it is much greater than the sum of its parts. I mean, because also
it's fun. The characters make it worth the journey.
I'm a huge slut for the Zero Saga anyway, so I was kind of a mark from day one.
Yeah.
it's a good cap to the Zero stuff, in my opinion. Like, I mean, it's not really a cap now because of Zed, but we'll get there. but like. It's a show that like it should not work at all, but like it does, and it's fun, and there's a lot of good stuff.
Well, I mean, the thing is we're all talking about it as if we know the entire story to Gene, but none of us have read another Gene, so
yeah,
we haven't. I really wish they would get on translating that. I would love to read that, to be quite honest.
Is it actually out? Did it actually get released?
I think it got out. I think it's on Super Imagination, though.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So if I don't know say own Ultraman Connection, I would certainly be looking into that. Hint, hint, if anyone's listening.
Please.
Yeah.
I think actually the fact that there's this manga continuation, I feel like brings up that like Geed is very like anime in a lot of ways, you know, with your teenage protagonist, and like even, you know, we were talking about Moa, like maybe part of why I am not as like skeeved out by everything that she does is because, you know, anime normalizes this weird like childhood friend fixation thing.
Yeah,
yeah, I mean, it feels very anime.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't just a romance with Moa for me. Like, I was really annoyed with how like comedically inept they were making her. I was just like, okay, I get it. Okay, fine. I don't know. It was just not where I really cared to have the comic relief.
Her name is one letter away from being Moe. Think about that.
Oh, I don't. That makes me hate her more, though. I don't know, like, because like,
I didn't like Moa. I thought Riku was insufferable as a main character. I just kind of thought he was played like a spoiled brat kind of, and then on top of that, the character that of the main trio that I really loved, I guess, yeah, like I really loved Laiha a ton. I thought she was a total badass.
Yeah, she was cool.
I just thought it was really weird that like they like made her play like Din Mother and like clean up after Riku, and like we would get these like really gratuitous shots of her practicing, but then when like action time went, like we had an episode where like they made her babysit a kid, you know? Yeah. It's like, hey, mm-hmm. but why are you using her this way?
Yeah, actually, that in general, New Gen still has not. I think there have been strides, but there hasn't really been. Why the fuck isn't there an Ultra Woman in? Like, there's one, okay.
Yeah.
We can get into that.
A movie exclusive like, character.
Yeah, right.
We're getting another Ultra Woman, or at least kind of a Justice situation with Dinus next week, so that'll be fun. But
again, movie exclusive. Yeah.
I know we won't see Dinus again until Ultra Galaxy Fight. Yeah. Files his taxes again.
Like it's strange to me when like you know you see Power Rangers is gonna have their Red Ranger be a woman, and like Ultraman still can't have like a semi-regular female Ultraman in any of their shows. You know, it's I don't know, disappointing.
I mean, I feel like you're also like in that particular comparison, you're getting into cultural differences there, which
yeah, but even Super Sentai regularly has. You know, women on the team.
No, yeah, for sure. But like, yeah. they're still
we had
like
a trans Sentai member in High School Heroes, which is pretty cool too. That's
that's dope.
Pretty sick. Yeah. No, High School Heroes. Not to switch from Ultraman. Is really good. I highly recommend it. But
I do like though there are places where Ultraman is kind of like slipping things in here and there that make me like yeah go thank you like that, I feel like. The whole like the they're a bit stereotypical, but like a bunch of I think pretty much all of the aliens in the Ultraman X episode, the rugby episode, like I feel like they're all gay.
No, they're gay. They're all gay as hell.
And they're great, and I love them. And like the whole episode is about like learning to love yourself and inclusion and all that. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
And there's a very similar episode in Ultraman Taiga that I won't talk about yet, but
like, we'll get to that in a second, but no, I mean, I think one thing to keep in mind, too, I've got the Hiroshi Maruyama art books that came out in 2019, and there were a couple projects that, like, they wanted to do more female Ultraman. They wanted to do a show called Ultra Fighters and Ultra Minds, which had a shit ton of female Ultra designs, and we also know the whole shtick with Nexus, there was going to be a Lady Nexus at one point, or they were going to have Nagi be Nexus.
Yeah.
So, like, to me, it seems like Tsuburaya is open to the idea, but I think, like, the people who own the company or Bandai are like, this is not going to sell toys. Like, come on.
Like, no, yeah. I feel like it always goes back to the higher ups, like all the way back going to Ace, where like, you know, everyone on the show clearly loved Minami based on her send off,
yeah.
You know, but like the producers are like, no, the kids don't like it. Get rid of her. You know?
Yeah.
It won't sell 300 yen figures, but it will sell, you know, 30,000 yen figures.
Oh.
Yeah. The Jeed movie, I honestly barely remember, but I barely remember it.
Oh, there was one thing about Jeed that I kind of wish they did on the fusion form thing. Because they show up in the Jeed movie, but Ultimate Force Zero. I really wish Zero Beyond, instead of when he did that like 20-minute transformation sequence, I really wish instead of using all the New Gen Ultras, he used his teammates from the movies.
That would have been so great.
That would have been cool.
I wish we had gotten a solid, like, you know, I get they probably didn't sell well, which is why we hardly ever see them. But like, I wish we'd gotten more than just the cameo in the Jeed movie. Yeah. Like, I would have loved, you know, even if it were just one episode, like where Ultimate Force Zero comes in to like have their team up moment. You know what I mean?
That mm-hmm. would have been fun, but like, I guess we can't have nice things.
No, yeah, no, I can't. Love Ultimate Force Zero so much. Like, it is such a disappointment how underutilized they've been.
Yeah.
Like every new project involving Zero, I'm just like, will we get Ultimate Force Zero?
and we never do.
So yeah, the Jeed movie you were saying, Alex.
I mean, I remember it being fun enough, but not okay. Not mind blowing. It was
it's all right. You know, that's
it was all right.
It's another one. It's like the show itself, where it's just like I'm surprised by how much I enjoy this movie.
Yeah.
I feel like the pacing's a little weird. I feel like Riku is at like peak insufferability in the movie. I feel like Sakamoto's composite work is always a little wonky.
Yeah.
But I love the Okinawan setting. I love it makes me think a lot of again, going back to Mechagodzilla 74, because it's my favorite Godzilla movie, so I go there all the time. But, I love that, tropical setting. It feels almost like an island Godzilla film, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I like the new
kaiju they had in it, too. He was
literally about to say that, yeah.
We don't get a whole lot of quadrupeds anymore, unfortunately.
Yeah. It's also a bit of an orb movie, right?
Yeah. Juggler showing up.
Yeah, and I really like Juggler. Juggler
is sexually harassing people the entire time.
Yeah.
just grabbing asses, dude. Like, he should be on a watch list.
And another foreshadowing of Shin Ultraman.
Yeah.
I for some reason, even though I really like that it was a continuation of the Galactron storyline too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it felt like a fun. Again, even though all the multiverse stuff is kind of wonky, it did feel like a fun, cross-franchise world-building moment, you know?
This threat is so dangerous, we gotta get Ultraman from another universe to help us. That's cool.
Yeah, and I don't know, even though I don't think it's a particularly great movie, of the new gen movies, aside from the X movie, it's the only one I've rewatched. And talking about it again, I kind of want to throw it on again, even though, again, I don't disagree. It's not an amazing movie. I vibe really well with it.
Can we get more Dawnshine stuff?
Yes.
Yeah.
I was actually shocked that Dawnshine didn't become real and team up with them in an episode.
That would have been amazing. I feel like we would have gotten that in a classic 50 episode.
Yeah.
Ultraman in general doesn't do a whole lot of the meta-textual stuff from that perspective, where characters are watching TV or whatever, or when they are, they're watching Toho things in the 70s.
Yeah.
So having you know, and especially the way that it works in Jeed, where Riku is inspired to be a superhero by watching superhero shows.
Yeah, it's true. I remember being really surprised when that showed up in the show, because I was like, "Oh, this looks like a Toei superhero in a Super Eye show."
No, Dawnshine's cool. I'd like to see more Dawnshine. Give him his own show, Super Eye. Come on.
Yeah, you have the suit.
Yeah.
I want to see Dawnshine fight.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Have him team up with Gridman or something. I don't care.
Yeah. I'll watch that shit.
Should we talk about Rube?
Yeah.
The one other thing I will say about Jeed is, I can't remember her name, but the lady who nurses Kay back to health, I did really enjoy that whole storyline. I feel like I remember a bunch of people it feels like this weird dead end of a plot line, but I had no idea where it was going, and when she turned out to actually have been Belial the whole time, once again, I was screaming.
No, I thought that was cool, too, because before we get to Rube, it really felt like, you know, for those who have seen Jetman, that arc where Radigat becomes human, and you think he's going to, become a good guy, or, at least gain some goodness in him, and then when he regains his memories, and the chick who nursed him back to health is like, but you're not evil, Radigat, I've seen the real you. And then he just kills her. Kind of a homage to that. But then when they throw that extra little bit there of, no, I'm actually Belial, you idiot. That was great.
Yeah, it's and I'm done with you now. Goodbye. that was one of my favorite villain deaths, I think, was the way they took Kay out. So that was the only other thing I wanted to add. I'm happy to move on to Rube if everyone else is.
All right, Rube. Yep, I'm good.
Rube is a divisive one. There's a lot of people that hate it, and I am not one of them.
I'm not one of them either.
No, neither am I. I think it's one of the weaker new gen shows, but like I think the characters really carry the show. It kind of reminds me of a better Ginga. Like it's kind of like lower stakes, you know, it's set in a in like one location that's not like, you know, a big, it's not all over the place. You have a lot of like quirky characters. There's no attack team in sight.
It's really breezy. It's a very breezy show.
It's an
show.
Easy watch. It's a very easy watch.
Yeah, I actually, so, you know, I watched X and Orb and Geed as they came out, right? Simulcast. Yeah. And Rube was the first one that I skipped. And so I actually came back to it when it came out on Blu-ray. And I was kind of, I wouldn't say dreading watching it, but I was like, ah, I don't know if I'm going to like this. Like, you know, I wasn't, I enjoyed Geed, but it wasn't like amazing to me. And I was like, I, you know, I was kind of apprehensive and I ended up enjoying it way more than I thought I would. Mm-hmm. And I think part of that's because it was just so fun and lighthearted. And the sibling kind of dynamic was really interesting. And the villains, I really like. Like Aizen.
Oh, yeah, those were great. Aizen. So we've been watching Ultra. We've been going through I guess a curated list of Ultraman episodes each show with my friends. We've been having weekly Ultraman nights. And we started with Rube actually. And they loved Aizen. They loved Aizen to death. And he's a fantastic villain. And they were sad to see him go, which spoiler alert for this 5-year-old show. I was actually
he gets cut short and that was disappointing that he didn't come back.
Yeah. He comes back in the Busca and Pega Retsuden for an episode, but like he needs to come back in something. He's so charismatic. He's so fun. But what I liked about Aizen was that you know, and granted when the show was coming out and they had the magazine scans, they show this guy who's dressed in white and pink and doing, you know, the heart with his hands. And I remember thinking this guy's either going to be kind of a red herring and he's not going to be a villain, or he's going to be the most diabolical motherfucker we've ever seen in any of these shows. He was neither, but but he was still a really fun villain. I love the idea of this guy is just a really obnoxious Ultraman fanboy. Yeah. He just wants to be Ultraman. And like, it kind of reminds me of like those grognards who don't like the newer shows because they're not the Ultraman that they grew up with, or the fact that he's this corrupt corporate executive who is making it, he's kind of making his own bootleg Ultraman. He kind of reminds me of Sunpot Sans a little bit. Like, he's got that vibe to him.
Especially because it was right after they finally wrapped that up.
Yeah. Like I could see Sans in real life. If he found the way to become Ultraman, he was still alive, he would become Ultraman.
Yeah. But it also reminded me a lot of Syndrome from The Incredibles.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, I thought he was really, really fun. And honestly, I also didn't mind his replacement villain either, because it was like
In retrospect, the fact that she's always, you know, saying her favorite quotes, I wonder if that had any influence on Shin Ultraman.
Everything is foreshadowing Shin.
Yeah. That character, Saki, I liked her a lot.
I loved her.
It took me a minute to like get behind her, but I thought she was a very tragic and interesting villain. I liked at the end of the show that like it was shown that like she's not evil. She's just a really hurt and depressed person.
Yeah, and I mean, I know, like, maybe it was because I was kind of prepared, because I knew how, like, so many people were disappointed with the villain switch, so I knew it was coming. But to me, like, the tone of the kind of the whole, like, the whole movie, the whole, sorry, the whole show, it's all family-based, you know? Yeah. And I really feel like, yeah, I feel like Aizen was correct for the beginning of the show, but really, to bring it home, I felt like Saki was a much better antagonist for like the themes the show was already playing with before she even stood up, you know.
Well, and I also like how Saki and Asahi kind of have their own little escapades don't have to do with the two Ultramen, which is kind of neat.
Like, the Halloween episode is fantastic.
The Halloween episode is fucking excellent.
Especially when they changed the theme song for that. Like, we need more Ultraman Halloween episodes. The fact we only have two is a crime.
Well, Halloween is getting more popular in Japan, so...
Come on, next show. Give us a Halloween episode.
Apparently, I think, like, I was listening around Halloween. I was with all my Halloween people, and they were talking about Halloween in Japan, because they're also big weebs. And the way they were describing it is that when Tiga aired its Halloween episode, like, Halloween was barely a thing in Japan. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And only in, like, the last decade has it started to become a much bigger thing, you know? Tiga episode feels really weird in that context.
a lot of the Tiga writers were big Westaboos, so, you know.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, there you go, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I was disappointed in Trigger for so many reasons that we had a whole podcast about it, but, like, the fact that it didn't have a Halloween episode broke my heart.
It's a fucking bummer. But no, Rube is fun. There's not a whole lot I have to say about it. I think the characters are cute. I think the family theme is great. It really tugs on the heartstrings near the end. No, it's a good show.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, the biggest thing is that I find it a little visually underwhelming. But yeah. That's it. Like everyone that I hear complaining about Rube, like, I find it so charming, though. It's just a sweet, charming, breezy little show.
Yeah.
And it made me cry a lot.
The ending made me cry when she saw you know, the two Ultramen as her deceased brothers. And then when I found out that the actors that they used to portray her deceased brothers are the same ones who played, you know, the Minato siblings, I'm like, fuck, dude, Jesus. No, it's fun. It's cute. I think it's one that's worth a watch. You know, if you want something that's loosey goosey and kind of low stakes.
It also has a fun mystery that kind of slowly gets unraveled. It just happens in the background, which I think works really well for such an episodic type of show where, you know, each episode is its own thing. And in the background, there's just a little something that keeps you, you know, wanting to get to the next episode besides just enjoying the show.
I was blown away with the twist, even though Buffy already did it. So
I'm not going to say what the twist is, because I remember when it happened, I was like, are you fucking shitting me?
Yeah, I won't spoil it either, but it definitely, I was like,
the audacity of it. Like, I had so many theories about what this was gonna, you know, pan out to be, and then it was that, and I'm like, you're fucking shitting me.
Yeah.
But in the best possible way.
I was very mixed. I'm just like, okay, like, if you
this remove, is a thing now.
If you remove one element of it, I love it. It's great. It's great. But then you put that one bit, this one, it's hard to talk about without spoiling, but, like, it's just like,
I know what you mean.
I feel really weird about this, even though I almost love it, but I feel really weird about it.
Also, I will say that this movie felt like probably, you know, the most important to the series. Like, I feel like if you want to watch Rube, like, if you want to watch Geed and Orb and X, if you don't want to watch the movies, whatever, who cares? But for Rube, I feel like you really should watch the movie.
You need to watch the movie and then the first Ultra Galaxy fight if you're going after Rube, you know, because a lot ties into that. I think other than that, the movie's okay. I mean, I don't remember a whole lot. I like the kaiju in it. I like the fact that it's this, like, loser gamer that becomes a monster. It feels very Gridman.
Do you remember the fucking when it just randomly is like, you know what? This Ultraman's going to be all CG.
Uncanny Valley.
When the trailers came out, I was like, I hate this movie. And then when I finally sat down to watch it after I finished Rube, it was doing so many things right. I'm like, oh, wow, okay, this is actually not bad. And I completely forgot why I hated it. And then he shows up. I'm like, oh, no, I'm never going to watch this movie again.
it's so weird, it's like, because, like, it's like that couldn't have been cheap to pull off.
No.
Why did they do it? They did not need to.
I think they did it as kind of a proof of concept for, like, future Ultraman movies where it's like, what if we just do it CGI?
It really feels bad. Feels with that, and then with Shin Ultraman, like, it really feels like, you know, the pie that they want a piece of is the Hollywood style, and, you know, they, like, everyone wants to be Hollywood, and, like, what Ultraman has with what they've been doing for years is really special, but the people with the money don't care. Yeah, the people making it care, but the people with the money don't care.
Yeah.
I get that for Shin, but for like a movie that is just the end of a series, it just seemed like a very bizarre choice.
I mean, mm-hmm. again, I think that's, to me, I feel like that's coming up from on high. That's just my hunch. Like, I'm not saying that definitively. It feels like, because, you know, you have little bits and pieces, like when you get to Taiga, most of the transformations, I think, are CG. You know, it's good CG, but, like, they don't have a guy on a green screen for that moment. It is a CG version of Taiga throwing himself at the camera, you know, it feels more and more like they're slowly trying to like get to that point where they can have that shiny Hollywood slickness. That's what it feels like to me.
The CG has gotten better and better. I mean, with Trigger and Decker,
mm-hmm.
I feel like that's a cut above what we usually expect, but it was just like, they're still not like they would never have the money to fully CG animate an Ultraman show. So like, I don't know why they were like, yeah, let's animate two Ultramen fighting each other. Like, what is it?
I mean, yeah, I was having like hideous cosmic flashbacks. why would you, like, it doesn't look any better than it did in 2001. Why are we doing this?
And ever since then, that character has appeared as a suit.
Yes.
Which is cool.
Thank God.
Thank God. But like,
thank you,
why did you do it in the first place? I will say the one thing I did really love about the Rube movie, and I've been sitting on this since we talked about Geed, is that the moment between Asahi and Riku, like bonding over like found family stuff, just like, okay, I didn't know I needed that, but that also like nearly completely rehabilitated Riku for me too. Like, that was, I loved it so much.
Also, Grigio should have been in the series.
Yes. I think she should have been in the series for sure.
Yeah, even if it was at the end of it, it should have been a series thing, not a movie thing.
My hot take is that "Happy" is a better catchphrase than "Sumire Smile."
Yep. Yeah.
Wait, what is? You broke up a little bit. What is a better catchphrase?
Happy.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, happy. Yeah, no, I always found it charming and never like I wanted to rip my ears off. just that one scene of Asahi and Riku is like the one reason why I might one day convince myself to rewatch the movie. even though I know I will have to face Groob again.
Are we good for Rube? Should we move on to Taiga?
I'm ready for Taiga. Let's go.
I really feel like everyone on this podcast kind of was because we all like Rube.
Yeah. You know what? People hate on Rube and
so much.
They have no place on this podcast.
I think people are just dorks, losers that should go outside and watch Rube when they're done.
We stand Ultraman Rube in this house.
It's the most comedic of the shows, and I think that rubs a lot of people the wrong way.
It's just so breezy and charming and lovely, and I love it.
But hey, you know what it wasn't? It wasn't the least popular. Let's talk about Taiga.
Was Taiga the least popular?
It was.
Taiga's
it
the was. Worst performing
Jesus
series
Christ.
In Ultraman's history.
Which is a crime, and I want to kill...
I'm gonna go throw myself off a bridge now. I'm sorry.
but
now,
no.
So coming because like I mean I can't really bring much to this because I still haven't watched it. But if from the I guess position of someone who hasn't watched Taiga, but like I really want to watch Taiga, I hear a lot of love about it. Why do you love it so much compared to the other?
So
can I
ask, who wants to go first, Jared? First? Because we're gonna be here all night, I think, for describing why you like Taiga.
Alex, how do you feel about spoilers? How careful do we need to be?
I mean, you know, if it's something significant, then probably not. But also, like, this is Ultraman, and like, you can't really spoil the experience of watching Ultraman. It's so enjoyable.
Because one of the things that makes it my favorite show is the final episodes. And I also don't want to spoil that because, like, I rewatched them a few months ago and I was bawling all over again.
I think what I'm going to do is I will describe Taiga, but I won't go too in-depth with spoilers. Kevin, have you seen Taiga?
I have, and I actually have a funny story about how I got spoiled on some stuff. So.
Okay. So I think Taiga, like, the reason why I like the show is it feels like it's kind of the Ultraman show that, like, scratches all the itches that I have for an Ultraman show. Like, you've got three different Ultramen. What, like, each are from, like, different parts of the multiverse, and, you know, they're all unique. There's no really form changes there. You get, like, two different form changes for Taiga, but, like, he just swaps out between the other Ultramen. You've got a storyline set in this really cool city where there's like an alien underworld, mm-hmm. and the aliens here are treated as people. Like, you know, you've got a Knackle that's a good guy. You've got a version of Bat that's a sympathetic character.
Yes.
They're not just like out to conquer the Earth. They're not like a group of bad guys. Like, you have bad aliens too, but you've got good aliens too. And in addition to, you've got some of the best new kaiju we've seen in an Ultraman show. And like, these guys are like fucking sick, dude. Like fucking Hellbarrus, Nightfang,
Nightfang. Ula,
fucking, they're just like, they feel really classic, in my opinion. They feel like in like 10 years, they should be like as iconic as, you know, some of the Showa or Heisei Ultra Kaiju. But, and, like, I think the other thing, too, is that they also do a lot of deep cuts. They bring back a lot of, like, older kaiju that, like, haven't been seen in a long time. Like, Takong shows up, for instance. Mm-hmm. And what's really cool is that with each of the old kaiju that shows up, regardless of how obscure they are or how popular they are, because they do bring back the Belial monsters from Geed in an episode, or at least Skullgomera, but they do new things with each of them. They do new things with each of them. And, like, you know, it really, like, it kind of, it feels like an evolution of, like, what X was talking about with, like, you know, is it ethical to blow up all these monsters?
Yeah, and that's, I want to, can I jump off of that?
Yes, you can.
Yeah, so, for me, the reason that elevates Taiga above X for me is, and X kind of touches on it, like Connor was just saying, but it feels like Ultraman Cosmos, like the ethos of Ultraman Cosmos, but now with like an effects team that's going to give you much better visuals. Because it really, like, they take the idea of empathy and empathy for the monsters and the aliens, and they make that a core part of the show. And, you know, another reason, you know, like, kind of the family stuff with Rube. Like, I love the shows where you really put empathy at the center of it. And again, I can't really get into the ending now since Alex hasn't seen it. But like they like really bring that, like, drive it home really hard by the end of it. Where again, every time that I have watched the finale, which has been two or three times now, like I'm sobbing. Which, I mean, granted, I am a weak little butterfly of a person emotionally, but you know, but again, like even as someone who cries at everything, I was ugly crying at the Taiga finale, like on another level. Yeah. And it just it's all about empathy and really like coming at these different viewpoints, you know, and not just killing monsters because that's what Ultramen do. You know, and on top of that, like, I feel like visually it is the peak of new gen Ultraman.
It's a wonderful looking show.
It looks incredible.
Who directed Taiga?
I can't remember.
I know Taguchi did a couple of episodes, but
Taguchi did a ton of episodes. But the main director was the guy who did the Nova episode of Orb. Ultraman, I'm gonna look this up real quick. Taiga, he's done a bunch of stuff. You know, he's been with New Gen Ultraman. I think he worked on Cosmos. I think he directed episodes of Cosmos too. I think it's like Ryuichi Sakamoto, maybe.
Ryuichi Ichino.
Ichino, yes. I knew there were multiple Ichis in there. Yeah.
You know what had me most excited about Taiga? Like, because, like, I didn't watch it just because, like, I had a lot of stuff going on, and in my life at the time, and I was like, oh, well, if they announced the Blu-rays, like a fucking idiot, I waited for them. but one of the things that was most exciting for me when I was just seeing stuff about the show, I'd seen people talking about it, was Ultraman Titus.
Yeah!
Ultraman Titus is the best Ultraman.
Titus fucking rules. Like, his debut episode is really fucking good.
It's, and like I will say, for as much as I praise Taiga now, it wasn't until episode 3 where I was fully on board. Like, the first two episodes, I was like, this is good, but then it was episode 3, I'm like, this is amazing.
Yeah, well, he's from U40, where, like, right?
He's from planet U40. Yeah, he's a U40 Ultraman, and, like, not to spoil it because it comes up in the audio drama, but he, if you remember the Ultraman, the final arc with the evil U40 Ultraman, he is the son of a soldier from Heller's army.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I never finished the audio dramas.
Like, so he... The motherfucker is like, God, he's so cool. He's so fucking cool.
Great. He's like, they have like, and he's like a big himbo, but also he's like a sage. So he has this like really fun mix of characteristics, you know.
So he's like, he's a himbo, but he's also pretty emotionally intelligent too.
Yes.
And like another thing that I really like about Taiga, if you really liked how X and Daichi work together, but Hiro talks to 3 different Ultramen once he gets them. And, like, they materialize as, like, little guys that he just sees around, like, the office.
Like, yeah, like, they're sitting on top of his computer monitor and shit.
Or, like, Titus is doing squats on one of his coworkers. Like, it's so funny.
It's kind of common yeah. Deno. Like,
It is Deno.
A bit. Yeah. It absolutely is. I like Taiga more. I found the Imagine antics more on me a little bit. But it is very much in that mold.
Actually, that's one thing I should have added this to my list of, new gen positives is, I really appreciate that new gen has normalized beefy yoked Ultraman.
Yes.
And Titus is really like the best version of it in so many ways. Yeah. And the other thing that I will say, like, cause I know, you know, a theme of this is I've been complaining about a lot of the way they've handled the female characters. And I really think Taiga goes above and beyond. With the way it portrays its female characters, and like the captain is Chiharu Niyama from GMK, you know, and she's incredible.
I wish you had seen Taiga because I want to go more in depth, but I also know that like Taiga's a show that's worth watching blind.
Yes, it absolutely is.
Well, I've decided I'm not gonna wait. I'm not gonna keep waiting for that Blu-ray.
Just watch it, man.
Just go watch it. It's so good. If you disagree, we're not friends.
I don't think I will, especially because I think I saw that. So like, what might be my favorite Ultra Kaiju, or at least like top 3, is King Gessra, and he's in Taiga. So like,
he is in Taiga. He's in a really good episode of Taiga.
Like with Takong, and so I'm in.
I can't think of a single episode of Taiga that I would say is bad. Like, I can think of episodes where I'm like, I don't know that I would have done exactly what they did, but I still really love the episode overall. You know. Yeah.
No, Taiga, I think, to be quite honest, is among one of my favorite Ultraman shows. Like, and that's really saying something in my opinion.
Yeah.
It hits, like, the only crime, in my opinion, with Taiga is that it did not have a 50-episode run.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, like, yeah, there's some weird undertones to some of the way the stories are written, but I feel like it's more just, it's a, you got a week to write a 25-minute thing, you know? I'm like, I can kind of work around it, you know, without getting too deep into it. especially when... again, without spoiling much, like there's one episode where I'm like, that feels like it has some weird implications, even though I don't think you meant for it to. But then on the other hand, you have episodes that are like, I feel like that is very like this surprisingly inclusive for tokusatsu kind of message, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's real good.
It's a good show. It's a really good show.
Nice.
I wish we could talk about it more, honestly, because I really want to talk about the ending. But now I
would be fine with, once Alex is caught up, doing a Taiga episode. We should do that.
Well, Taiga's movie is actually the end of the new generation, right? I mean, that's the new generation climax. And
it's supposed
can,
to be,
can
yeah.
stop the podcast, then, right?
I guess we could.
It's a movie.
It's fine. I like the fact that Taro is the main villain for a little yes. bit of it.
Yeah, I like that. Oh, and I guess, I will say, because I keep forgetting he's even the villain, Tregear.
Yeah,
he's fine.
Yeah, that's the thing. Tregear is just like Belial, but like goth and gay. So
yeah,
like,
I mean, the one thing that I will say, like I completely forget he's like a non-entity practically, because when I think of why I love Taiga, it almost has like nearly nothing to do with Tregear, except once again coming around to that final episode, like the where he stands philosophically versus where the show is going philosophically is interesting and really pays off.
And not to spoil it, but like Tregear, I think he's really interesting in the Rube movie, but like in Taiga we find out he kind of has the same backstory as Belial somewhat.
Yeah.
But with Taro instead of Ultraman, a father of Ultra. So like, I mean, I think I would have done his backstory a little bit different instead of just doing what they did with Belial again.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. My main thing is just like, regardless of kind of who he is as a character, I do really like the philosophical counterpoint he offers as for the finale and kind of what the finale does. And again, I won't go into it. It hurts me to not talk about it. But yeah, I'm really interested. I really want to know what you think when you watch it, Alex.
I'm excited. I'm very excited to watch
it. Yeah, hopefully we have not overhyped it. I feel like Kevin, you're not as big a fan of Taiga, I feel like you said.
I do like Taiga. I was just kind of like letting y'all run. I'm not quite I think the thing that really was just such a breath of fresh air about it to me was like just taking a break from this, like, oh, we're getting power-ups based on former Ultraman, because like in Rube, there's like no reason why these power-ups happen.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
they do have the rings in there, but like they're not the main gimmick. They're just kind of like, oh, we have these, we can use them sometime.
Yeah, they're there, but it's like I wish they weren't, but also I don't care, you know.
Yeah.
What I will say is, you know, I was saying how I was spoiled, and I'll say something, and maybe it'll. I'll say something so that I think those who have seen it will get it. I went to the wiki while I was watching one of the episodes because I wanted to know what the name of the alien was in that episode, and I saw more than one name, and I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah, I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I can have a guess. Anyways, did we talk... Is it time for Zet?
I think so.
Yeah.
How many fucking New Gen shows are there now?
There's three more, and I have another podcast at 6.
Oh, boy.
All right, we got to hustle.
I think we can skip.
We've already complained about. Except
yeah, Trigger, I don't want to talk about
it. Y'all complained about it, and I stopped watching it, so we don't need to go there.
We're not going to talk about Trigger. We can just do Zet and Decker, which I think is a fine cap for everything.
Yeah, yeah. Sounds good to me. Oh, Zet.
I think Zet was an interesting one. Very interesting because it's a huge, like, Taiga was the least perform, like Taiga almost killed Ultraman.
Yeah.
That Zet hurts
brought
me
it
so
back
much.
From death.
That being said, if that was the last Ultraman show for a bit, that'd be a banger to go out on.
That would have been a real high point. Like so Zet was really frustrating because like I feel like Zet is going to be a show, looking back on, I will appreciate more, because I liked so much, you know?
It's one of those shows that, like, I think it's like Geed in that it shouldn't work, and it feels kind of haphazard, but, like, I can see why it's haphazard due to COVID, and also the head writer dying.
He'd gotten, like, what, 3 episodes finished?
Yeah.
The show is so fucked on so many levels just starting out.
It's honestly a miracle that it's as coherent as it is.
Yeah, like, I'll give it that. Like, and I think in a year or two, like, if we ever get the Blu-ray, I'll rewatch it, and I'm like, yeah, okay, I enjoy this.
I like, you know, I like how sort of, I guess, I'm trying to find the right word for it. Simplistic. It feels at the start because it's like, oh, it's kind of like kaiju are showing up, but we have robots too. And now Ultraman is showing up too.
Yeah, and that was a real fun twist. Like Sevenger was.
Sevenger was welcome. I really enjoy that they brought him back, and
yeah,
he's now the fandom darling. Like, who's yes. Thunk?
Yeah,
that changed New Gen because like the subsequent shows, the defense teams have had big robots in some form.
Which yeah. I think of all the things to keep on, like I'm fine with that. I like big robots. Like put more of them into Ultraman. Like that's cool. Like
King Joe's Storage Custom is also molto bene, you know what I'm saying? I like it.
Yeah, I like seeing Wyndham back. My big thing, and I'll just put it out front so I can stop complaining. I felt like because it was the first one simulcast after 2 years, and I have the meme that I made that I share all the time, like the guy in the corner, like they don't know about Ultraman Taiga.
Yeah.
You know, like it always like everyone's like, oh, it's amazing, it's so blah. And like it, to me, it's just like, yeah, they got some like really cool like flashy money shots, but I feel like the rest of the production is like. Feels more threadbare compared to how like lush because they had what's the guy's name, the guy who did the effects work for GMK did the effects work for a lot of the Taiga episodes, you cool. know, like they had a lot of stuff going into that, and then you know, and granted it's still Taguchi doing a lot of Zet, but it just felt like Taiga did so poorly, I can kind of see why it was kind of scaled back quite a bit.
So I will say, special effects-wise, Zet has every episode had a look what we can do shot that I love.
Yeah.
I would wait for a shot that was just like, wait a second, did they just do a rotating set forced perspective shot of King Joe reaching like for a car? Like, what the fuck?
I'll give it, like, it has some incredible money shots. I just remember being really frustrated with, like, yeah, I get that it has really cool money shots, but y'all don't understand.
Yeah.
I don't understand what I have seen.
No, it's, I also think, too, like, what maybe, this is going to sound really weird, but I think what somewhat impacted my enjoyment of Zet over, you know, Taiga. You know, Taiga aired during a really good year for me. So it was like, oh, everything's great, including Ultraman.
Yeah.
And, I don't need to explain when Zet aired.
No.
Yeah. But I remember there was one night where, like, I've never done this before. I was working at elementary school during when we came back after about months of quarantine, and like after that first week I got home on Friday and like I just sat on my couch and I'm like, oh, Ultraman's on tonight, I'm just too tired to watch it, like but I think as it went on, like I enjoyed it a lot more. You know, I thought it was fun to see Juggler again. They brought my boy Piguila back, which was always welcome. They brought Kanagon back, which is probably one of my favorite clip shows in Ultraman.
Yeah,
the Ace episode was great. They brought Barabbas back for the Ace episode, which
that was wild.
Better.
Yeah,
and his eyeballs even popped out too. Like, it's
they technically this is the first time they brought back Gomez and not Gomez S.
Yes, that's correct. That's
You're right. Yeah,
Gomez back.
Yeah, at proper scale, it's Gomez. Yeah. If it's big, it's Gomez S.
They brought Gigas back from that one episode of Ultraman, the big Yeti monster who got blown up by E-Day.
Yes.
I enjoy it. It's you know, and I like the dynamic between the host and Zet. I thought Riku and Geed were going to be more of a, you know,
I felt like they were meant to be a bigger, like in the before times, they were meant to be a bigger presence.
Because I thought it was going to be like, oh, they're going to fill kind of the role Zero filled in Geed. And I thought, oh, that's going to be really cool. Kind of like passing the torch, like Zero did this and now Geed's going to do this for Zero's apprentice.
Yeah, after about episode 7, it felt like they were just on damage control improvisation for the rest of the series.
Yeah. And I think for them improvising stuff, I think they did pretty well. Yeah. Although there's a lot of stuff that feels like, it really feels like they came up with like some hooks, but they didn't like edit out any of them. It's like, oh, we're going to have Geed in this. We're going to have Juggler in this. The host is, the Ultra is a Zero fanboy. Oh, we're going to have the Belial Devil Splinters be the driving force for the plot, but now they're not. Oh, Belial's going to be a sword that talks.
Yeah. Like, oh my god! I remember we saw the first photo of that. I'm like, I was already like on the Zet hate train, and I hate that so much. And then it shows up in the show. I'm like, that's amazing. I love it.
No, I was in the same boat. I did a complete 180. I'm like, oh my god! Of all the Bandai fucking toys that we've got, this is the worst. And then it's become the best one because it's a sword with Belial's head that talks and like snarks at people and like chooses who wields him.
Yes.
Yeah. No, I think with Zet as well, it's overall plot, it's clear that they didn't know where things were going and they're trying to make up for it, right? Like, it's clear that the head writer had a plan for what to do with Juggler, but he didn't really share it with anyone.
Yeah.
He did, you know? So it's one of those shows where, like, the ride is really fun, but it doesn't pay off in a lot of those long-term plot threads.
It is also really interesting to kind of watch it break down as it goes on, because I feel like the first couple of episodes were mostly pretty solid. Yeah. And then around episode 6 and 7, which I think is, if I am kind of imagining the timeline correctly, that's about what they finished shooting before COVID. But they hadn't edited it, and it feels like the editing on those last couple of episodes are really weird and paced off. Like you could tell, like, the editor wasn't in the office as much. You know what I mean? And then after that point, it just felt like everything was kind of just off, you know?
Yeah, it's so weird because, I enjoyed Zet. You know, I thought it was a fun show. But, like, because it became so popular, you see a lot of people call it the best Ultra show or their favorite Ultra show. And
and that, I find that was really,
it's like, crazy. Again, that meme, they don't know about Taiga.
They don't know about anything.
Everyone anything listening to this, I'm willing to forgive Zet and admit that it's a decent enough show, but please go watch Taiga, please.
No, it's
those lines. Can we get the Next Generation Pat Labor out? Because, like...
Yeah, sure. I'm down.
I feel like so many of the things, like... the storage uniforms and stuff, like, they could have just been snatched directly from the wardrobe of Pat Labor.
That's fair. Like, I really like the aesthetic of Zet.
Oh, yeah. Like,
there's a lot of, like, little cost-saving measures here and there where I'm like, I should do that.
Yeah, Zet, I like the idea of the attack team just going, okay, Kaiju are attacking the Earth. Let's just build giant robots to punch them in the face. Like, that's I love giant robots. I love Kaiju. So it's always a win-win whenever they do that. And the fact that it's now an Ultraman, I'm sold. Like, just do it. Just do this from now on. Like, I don't know. Like, bring back Bill Gamo from Return of Ultraman and put him in that show. Like, just have him be the base. Like, come on.
Yeah. No, I 100% I'm with you there. Lots of little things about Zet bug me, but, like, I know it's kind of divisive in some circles we travel in, but I love that Haruki and Zet, like, much like I loved how much Daichi and X were just big dorks.
We have two idiots now.
Yeah, they have two bros between them, you know? And,
like, I really enjoy, like, you know, you think, like, Zet's, like, gonna be he's a moron, you know? And Asos is a moron, but like, we do get some like really fun character stuff with him, like the Bolton episode, which I think was really creative and also like really sad too. Like, and then the Red King episode too, which is like, I think one of the best Red King episodes we've had in a while.
Yeah, actually, I was gonna say about my favorite Zet episodes are the first episode, the Geed crossover, and the Red King episode.
Mm-hmm.
And that Red King episode, what I really enjoyed about it is that, I mean, not only is it using Red King A and B suits, which, mega appreciate that, but also it's like Haruki really regrets what he does, and then you feel that for the next few episodes. And I was like, that usually doesn't happen. Usually, like, there are times in the original series and in older shows where Ultraman's sad and where Ultraman he shows some regret or some remorse, like when he kills Giros, but like next episode everything's set back to normal because
it's he just blows him up.
And that's that was kind of another one of my issues early on into Zet was again coming off of Taiga, this being like very empathy, like let's like really like from the word go, like let's really like have empathy for the monsters, let's so on and so forth. I'm like, I kind of like, oh, is this like, cause like I kind of was like, is this kind of where we're going? Cause X kind of had this going on too. Like, are we going to do this more and more? And then they murdered Gomora and did like, it was like this big fireworks display. I'm like, oh, okay.
It fucked me up when they murdered Gomora because like, I mean, we've had now multiple series where Gomora is clearly like portrayed as a hero.
As a good guy, or at least sympathetic. And
I thought they were going to resolve
blow him up.
They blow him up because he wakes up. He wakes up and like, oh, you shouldn't have woken up. You're dead.
And it's like, and it's like, oh, we're back to a classic Ultraman, but in kind of a way I don't like.
Like,
you know, but then he... what I appreciate about that is that later on, Haruki starts to question that in the show itself.
Yeah. Right.
It doesn't pay off. It doesn't pay off super well, like most things, but I appreciated that there was the effort put into there. And that sequence of episodes where he's like questioning whether or not being Ultraman is a ethical.
It's worth it. Yeah. Like worth it.
And that was my thing is I wanted more payoff. Like, okay, cool. We're gonna do it. We're gonna do it. And then it didn't. Like, oh, okay. But it is nice that it was there.
I also like the idea that like the big bad weapon is like, hey, we're gonna have humans create this horrible weapon and then turn it on them. It's kind of neat.
And it's an Ultraman.
Yes.
No, that was cool. It's definitely. I think Dinah did it a little bit better, but like it makes sense here, and it's been so long since we've had the Terranoid that like I'm like, this is cool. I'm down for this. Like this makes sense.
Yeah, I will say like those last five episodes of Zet, especially after how like kind of like bummed I was about the whole show, like starting from about the ace episode to the end, I was like, okay, this is a roller coaster. I'm really enjoying this now, you know. I really think I'm gonna enjoy Zet a lot more when I go back and rewatch it. It just a lot of those little things just kept adding up, and then it's like
it's gonna be weird watching it without the commercials in the middle.
Oh yeah.
That was another thing too, like with how terrible 2020 was and all this stuff, is just like for some reason it doesn't bother me as much now watching Decker, but for some reason during 2020 watching it with the commercials kind of put the toyeticness into sharp relief in a way that had never been done for me before, to where like normally I'm like, I don't care, like that's just how it is, and like now I'm watching the commercials in between, and like for the first couple of episodes like this is neat, and then like for the rest of the show I'm like, this kind of makes me depressed.
I have to admit, because of COVID I watched all of Zet basically every Friday. Myself and whoever was around on Discord, we would just watch Zet together. Like, good or bad, if the episode was good or bad, didn't matter. It was like, hey, we're going to hang out and watch Ultraman. And it was the first time I had, like, a consistent watch party.
Yeah, that's fair.
And, that was, whatever I think of the show, I think, you know, ultimately, I think it's kind of mid in the new gen canon.
Yeah.
Low mid, but, maybe. But, like,
it's more forgivable given, for sure.
Yeah, it's...
Given the circumstances, I can like, okay.
I would agree with Alex that like I do have like a lot of fond memories, like, you know, of Zet watching it, because it was like, oh, this is at least, you know, the world is burning and everything sucks, but like at least Ultraman still airs on Friday.
Fair enough. Yeah. I honestly my. At this stage, like kind of coming to terms with it, my biggest regret, my biggest complaint is that it didn't get a movie.
Because
I was really hoping that, like, you know, coming like after, you know, maybe they're figuring out all, you know, they figured out the show, you know, coming towards the end of it, and you know, maybe figuring out like COVID protocols and everything, maybe Taguchi will be able to do another like Ultraman X movie, sort of like where he just goes all out. You know, and just has some breezy fun with it, and it doesn't really connect to, it doesn't need to connect to the thing at all. We see Sevenger on the, well, we wouldn't see it on the big screen, but you get it.
We at least got Sevenger fight though, which was really charming. That was cute. It's cute. It's so fun. Yeah, so that was that. Okay, show.
Yeah.
All right, let's smile.
I did.
Covering the Ultra Galaxy fight stuff, or is that like that's?
I think that's. I'm fine with us skipping those for now.
We can. They're neat.
I think it's weird because it's like I think the first Ultra Galaxy ties into Rube and Taiga pretty well, and then the second one ties into Zet, but then the other one ties. It's I don't know.
It's a weird one, like in terms of it's so focused on this like incredible like callbacks and fan service just as a whole, but we're getting like dubs made for, you know, this for YouTube, I guess, because they don't have to match lip flaps or anything.
Yeah.
But like all of the stuff that they're referencing isn't accessible to audiences, and it's just a strange.
It's movie. For turbo nerds like us it and Japanese
weird.
Fans.
It's very weird. Because
I can't imagine any newbie Ultraman fan who got into the series with Zet knows who fucking Andrew Melos is. Like.
Right.
Yeah.
Honestly, Ultra Galaxy fight is so weird to me because. It's clearly aimed at like hyper turbo nerds for Ultraman.
Yeah.
But those hyper turbo nerds are, you know, our age, right? Like,
yeah.
But the structure of the show seems like, you know, like an Ultraman fight show, like very much targeted at children just with action. Like, I remember watching Destined Crossroad. And I was just kind of exhausted because I was like, man, I wish there were less fight scenes so I could see more interactions between these characters that I never get to see.
Yeah.
Because it's just fight scene after fight scene. And
I have
Scott, Chuck, and Beth, and like they barely talk and then they have to start fighting. I'm like, I want to see them talk.
Yeah, I watched Destined Crossroads in one go, and I just remember being so exhausted by it by the end. I shouldn't be exhausted when you have a team of Ultramen that are the B team Ultras, like, you know, Zenon and like Andromelos and, you know, Hikari invading an evil alien planet. Like, I should be like on the edge of my seat. And I was just like, okay, let's get going.
Yeah, I remember watching the first Ultra Galaxy fight and like, oh, this is kind of a fun diversion. Like, it was around Taiga was the most recent show. I'm like, yeah, like yeah. If they just do like a really solid, you know, not super multiversal show for the main show, and then they get all their nerd wankery out for these silly little fight things, like this is fun.
Yeah.
And then I remember, and then yeah, I watched, what was it?
Absolute Conspiracy.
Yeah, and I watched that. I'm like, this is interesting. Like, it's still got all the weird lore drops and stuff. I'm like, yeah, okay. And then it comes, I'm like, oh wait, and I'm like, oh yeah, I can't wait for the next episode. Like, oh, that was the last episode. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then I never bothered watching.
They did Yulian dirty there, in my opinion.
They
did Yulian dirty in the last episode of Absolute Conspiracy, in my opinion.
So what do you expect?
Yeah, she got kidnapped. No, I think that the nerd wank is fun. I like how reboot. This character from this Malaysian children's show that was made as a tie-in is now kind of the star of this, like the star of these YouTube spinoffs. I think that's
super was really cool. Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, I'll watch the next one. I'm just kind of hoping it does a little bit more than just like fighting.
Yeah.
Also,
kind of like, all I could say about it without going into like a 3-hour diatribe about this kind of shit.
It also kind of frustrates me because, I mean, the ultimate, like, turbo nerd experience was Ultra Galaxy Legends, the movie, for me. Like, I remember I just started watching it, and I was just laughing because I was like, this is insane that this movie exists. But
yeah.
It's called Ultra Galaxy Fight. Why do none of the Space Pendragon crew ever show up? They're the stars of Ultra Galaxy.
I mean, I feel like the meaning of Ultra Galaxy shifted with Ultra Galaxy Legends.
Yeah,
I guess.
Like, it became, I mean, yeah, originally it was
like what happened with the Mario Land games. You get two Mario Land games, and then they're now all about Wario. Like,
exactly.
I mean, it doesn't not make sense to an extent. Like, yeah, it's the Ultra Galaxy, you know? I'm like, okay, like... I would love to see the Pendragon people come back.
Yeah, I'd love to see like a 15-year anniversary or whatever for them, but I'm not holding my breath.
No.
I wonder if it's just this complete, and I mean, speaking of Ultra Galaxy, there's the whole thing where they had the actor replacement system that they wanted to
yeah. Oh, I don't want to talk like about that.
A cursed visual translation system.
They just want to, like, basically not have any faces on screen that aren't behind masks, so they can just, you know, dub this in whatever language they want.
And I really like Ultra Galaxy, but it is really harmed by that whole fiasco. Like visually, it looks so bad. Because they had to, like, do the safest possible shots.
But yeah, just the whole thing why do we have a dub? Like the turbo nerds who know all of this stuff demonstrably are willing to sit through subtitles because they wouldn't know all this stuff otherwise. Yeah. So
Lord.
It's a strange thing to me.
Yeah, we still don't have an easily accessible dub of the original Ultraman on streaming, but you know, if you want to see Ultraman Noah return. a character who has not appeared in a like film, like was part of stage shows and appeared in a TV show. Then yeah, we'll dub that for people who can't read English subtitles. Okay. Sure. All right.
I also think too, this is without getting to the villains of it, their planet is dying. I just feel like the Absolutions could have just gone, hey, our planet is blowing up. Could we just move on to M78? And I feel like the Ultramen would have been like, yeah, sure. Please, we'll help you out.
They would have asked how many Absolutions there were, and if there were too many, they would have blown up their spaceship.
Yeah, it's true.
But, like, now with, like, Ultraman, like, you have in Destin Crossroads, like, the Ultra Brothers just fucking murdering. And I know they're enemy combatants, so it's whatever, but like thousands of these guys who are just trying to get a place to live, like just in combat. It's like when fuck it. Mebius like blows up an entire army of them. Like, Jesus Christ, dude. Mebius?
That feels wrong.
It's just Cosmos kills a couple too. Like,
That feels like a return to form in a bad way.
After Taiga and all these other shows that are like, you know, the villain's sympathetic and we can work with them and we can work with other aliens and all this stuff. It's like, no, we're just going to blow the shit out of them. Like, we don't give a shit.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. I never wound up watching Destin Crossroad, and I'm not really
it's
stoked kind of, it's fun.
You like, it's exhausting. Don't do it all in one sitting. Like, but, you get to see characters in live action you never have, so it's neat in respect.
Like, if you do it on YouTube in like parts, I think you'd have a fun time. But like as a
movie, it's exhausting.
Oh my God. I think with that, I think that's all my thoughts on the Ultra Galaxy Fight stuff.
So now that we've not talked about Ultra Galaxy Fight,
can go skip ahead directly to Decker then, because we've already talked Trigger and
we've talked about Trigger. I don't want to talk about Trigger anymore.
I watched enough to know that I don't care to ever talk about it again.
I will say Trigger had 3 episodes I liked. That was it. And by liked, I mean like I wouldn't recommend these episodes, but
you don't want to claw your eyes out.
The only episode I recommend would be the Powered Dada one. There's a couple episodes here and there where like it seemed like Trigger had found its footing and it was going to like go somewhere and be something, and then it wouldn't, and it would just get bad again, and it kept doing that. And I remember the final bit of the show when Ignis decides to go after the Eternity Corps after they do the whole thing with fighting a Boris and Manila, which was a good episode. I was like, oh, it's going to stick the landing. It's going to stick the... It didn't. And I remember I just felt like a jackass thinking, oh, this is going to end up being okay. If it sticks the landing, this is going to be a show that wasn't a waste. And I was wrong. I was horrendously wrong.
Yep.
The main thing that I take away from Trigger as a positive is the flying punch into Gimaira. That was a cool shot.
That was cool.
And it was all wire work, too, so it looked really cool.
No, a lot of the special effects in Trigger weren't too bad.
I felt like a lot of them, at least in the 7 episodes that I watched, I felt like a lot of them felt like they were like, oh, remember that thing we did in Zet? Let's do that again. People like that.
Yeah.
I liked a lot of the characters, but they each needed an episode instead of like, well, this guy is lifting weights and we're not going to talk about that. Or like,
they should have had an episode where like he arm wrestled, I don't know, Kettle from Leo. Why not? I don't give a shit anymore. Like, I'm just trying to think of a strong alien he could have arm wrestled or whatever, but like, I don't know. Like it, I think there is a good show in there, but like it needed way more time to like figure out what that show would have been, whether it was going to be its own thing or a Tiga sequel or something, or I don't know. This is not good.
So well, then they immediately decided the next year to do the same thing.
We're going to do it again.
Yes, let's do it again.
Decker.
And I think Decker. Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead, Kevin.
Thankfully, it doesn't seem like it's exactly the same thing. Like it doesn't feel like there are parts of it that are kind of lifted from Dinah. I feel like the parts that are the weakest part of it, but
they are.
It's enough. It's different that it's not hurting it.
It's a good Dinah remix, I should say.
Yeah.
Like you bring back the spheres and you get more focus on them than you did in Dinah. And you've got Hanejiro, but as Hane too, so he's a little robot instead of a cute little animal. And like I thought he was gonna suck, but he was adorable.
Yeah, I was really concerned because I had just finished Dinah whenever Decker was getting ready to air, and Hanejiro, my boy, my precious baby. I was really concerned about how Hanejiro was going to turn out, but it worked out. It worked out. I like AI Hanejiro.
Yeah, I think for me, Decker had a decent start. Basically, when it started, I was just like, hey, please don't be like Trigger. And it wasn't. And then it had a really cool mid-season twist episode. Oh, yeah, that twist was cool. You know, twist mm-hmm. arc. That was really fun. And then, for me, the show kind of just meandered to its ending. And
yeah.
I can't disagree with that. Like, I thought the ending was fine, but it did...
That's a fine summation. Thought it was kind of cool that the spheres went after the Eternity Core again, because I thought it was kind of weird how the show kind of forgot about that from Trigger, and it was like, oh no, actually this does exist and the bad guys are after it. I think it's a solid show. I would say it's a B+ Ultraman show. It's fine. Like I like the cast, I like a lot of the singular episodes. I like the general setting and the hook. It makes Trigger not obnoxious as a character.
Yes.
It feels like an apology show is what it feels like for Trigger. They're like, we're sorry we gave you Trigger. We're going to try to fix it. Here's Decker instead.
Yeah, I mean, given the circumstances, like, it wasn't mind-blowing, but it's fine.
There's some good episodes.
I had a good time. The Mons Arger episode was incredible.
That was great. Or like, the Ragon episode was good too.
The conclusion of the Ragon episode I was a little mixed on. But
yeah.
The bulk of the episode I really liked. But the ending of it, I'm just like, is that I'm glad they tapped
referencing the Ultra Q movie.
Yeah.
That was cool. Yeah.
That was
great. Like, because I love the Ultra Q movie.
Have we done an episode about the Ultra Q movie?
We did Kaiju Transmissions.
Okay. Yes. We might just have to do, like, an Ultra Q spinoff episode. That'd be fun. But no, I guess that's the thing. It's like, you know, I like the mid-season twist a lot, especially when they brought, spoilers, guys, that a certain character and revealed the other character was bad.
Yes.
It's
I feel like they went so high with that mid-season that it was going to be real hard to follow that.
Yeah, that's kind of the thing. It just kind of felt like they're like, oh crap, we have to finish the show. here you go.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I liked a lot about it, you know, like, it didn't grate on me the way, like, again, I had to stop watching Trigger. It was just so grating and bad, and Decker, I made it through. Like, it was like, yeah, it's good. It's good. It's not my favorite. It's good middle tier, you know, but, like, I'm having a hard time really discussing individual episodes all that much.
Just like, yeah. And also, like, I think the cast will do a fine job, but there wasn't that much, like, chemistry or kind of really unique, bold personalities like the previous New Gen shows, even compared to, like, Zet. And, I mean, even Trigger. Trigger barely gives its characters a chance to do much, but, like, they have really strong, like, one-sentence personality descriptors, you know?
Yeah. I will say that's one of the things I didn't like about Trigger is some of those one sentences were just like, please not this sentence.
Well, that was all they were. Is there wasn't,
they were very wasn't strong choices. The sentence, right? Yes. Yeah. They were very strong choices, if nothing else.
Really like the character of Kengo. I find him very annoying, but at least you can be like, yeah, he's this guy who's super hopeful and always cheering people on. Kanata, I can't really say a lot about.
Kanata, I viewed as, like, the everyman, where, like, he just wanted to live his life, and then he got eaten by the literal void, and then becomes Ultraman, and now is joining an attack team.
What, like, even is Ultraman in Decker?
Much that, like in Dinah, his origin.
We don't know.
Yeah, it's really, like, yeah, by the end of it, it was just like, I kind of wish they hadn't asked as many questions as they did. Like, I normally like unanswered questions, but... And this one, I'm just like, you know, I wish you hadn't asked that, because it bothers me that I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, like, we don't know what Dinah is. But
that's all they are.
I guess I'm confused by, like, what's Dinah's role in this? Like, what's, you know, and now we have Dinah showing up. So, like, are they, like, what? Decker's from the future, and then he got... His light got sent back? I mean, that's
like,
cool.
What, it was like a Dinah and Decker team up in the future? Like they were buddy copping around the universe?
Did Dinah accidentally fall into the Decker universe? He's like, oh, cool, it's another me. Let's go kick some sphere ass. Like, which is very Dinah, I should say.
I mean, I do like how they've handled Dinah post-Dinah.
It was weird to not see, like, Asuka back, though. Like, I know there's some...
Could they not get Tsuruno?
No, he did some, like, pro Hong Kong independent stuff when that was going on, and since they're trying to get the Chinese market, they're like, no, we can't have you on anymore, buddy.
Really? That's the reason?
That's why. That's what I was... Ooh. That's what I've seen, yeah.
Jeez.
Okay. Yeah, I was really confused. I'm like, wait, like, I understand...
He was there doing promo stuff.
They had him in, like, commercials and stuff, but then that is domestic. It's like, that doesn't really leave the country as much as the show itself. So that does still track, I think.
Unfortunately.
Because I remember watching that episode, and I was like, yeah, when's Asuka going to show up? Because that, you know, like, I understand Trigger. Like, I understand the leash that they have. What's his face?
Daigo.
Yeah, like, okay, like, it sucks, but I get it. You know, Johnny's
watches if we, you know, like they try to bring Gamu back and he got, like, hit by a semi or something. I don't know.
When they do their Cosmos reboot, there's another you know.
Just, oh Lord. But yeah, no, I liked Kanata. Like, I see what you're saying, but I guess I kind of liked that the intensity was dialed back, even though, like, yeah, by the end of it, like, okay, we didn't really go anywhere with these people. I will say, in the first half of the show, I appreciated the intensity being dialed back, because it felt like, especially, like between Zet and Trigger, like, they were really ramping up that, like, very, like, Sentai style, like, here's what this character is, and they're gonna scream about it, you know?
Yeah.
So it was nice for them to be a little more reserved. And I liked the little team building payoff at the end, but, like,
that was cute. I thought he was great.
Yeah, I definitely still, I can't really blame someone watching it and being like, yeah, I didn't really like him. Like, yeah, fair enough. I'm not going to argue with you, you know? I'm not going to, they don't make a strong case for themselves, so I'm not either.
It's all right, you know.
It's fine. It's cool.
It gave me hope that someone at Tsuburaya or Bandai or whatever was like, oh shit, even though Trigger made a ton of money, a lot of people don't like it. We should probably make sure the next show is better. And like they did. So I'm like, okay, I'm not like, you know, the sky is falling about the future of Ultraman anymore.
Yeah, I'm very hopeful for this year's show, I should say.
Same. Yeah. Decker gave me a lot more hope. And I will say, like, I didn't really like the idea of whenever a Trigger was announced, I'm like, oh god, how are they going to work Showa monsters into this?
Yeah.
And in like, seeing, like, Gemaira in a Tiga thing was like, okay. You know, but I did really like seeing, like, Sphere Gomera and Sphere Red.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, those were cool. I will admit. And I appreciated that Decker had a really high quantity of new suits.
Oh yeah. Yes. Compared to, you know, Zet and Trigger, we got, I love Spherosaurus. What a great kaiju.
Spherosaurus was great. I loved Neomegas a lot.
Neomegas was cool.
Yeah.
Also, I even though it's so ridiculous, I did quite enjoy Mother Sphere because it's just like a walking mountain that can barely move.
Yes.
I like the suit. I just think it's weird that the spheres like decide, you know what, we should turn into a big dinosaur to stop.
It was also weird. Like I will say, like, the sphere in Dina, I always thought was one of the weaker elements of Dina. Like the individual episodes are why I really love Dina. And so it was interesting to see Sphere get more of a focus. Although I will say by the end of it, it's like, oh, I'm not sure that I love that it's the human instrumentality project.
Yeah.
But oh, okay. You know, like, I don't hate it, but this is just a big question mark, you know? I'm like, okay.
Yeah, I think that's all I really got to say about Decker.
Yeah.
It was fun.
And I was so very, like, there for me, you know, I would log in Friday nights because, you know, other people were watching, and then I'd kind of sit there and watch it. But it was a lot of it, like, was in one ear and out the other. But, you know, there are a couple of good stuff. I like most of the Agam's things that go on, but it just takes a long time to get there.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like we disagreed a lot as it was airing, but, like, I can't deny that, like, I stopped 4 episodes before the ending, and I only just finished it today, you know? Like, as much as I enjoyed parts of it, and I was like, no, it's so much better than you're saying. Like, I was like, but on the other hand, I did just kind of fall off of it.
You know,
it doesn't hold you very, very well, even though it's not terrible.
Yeah.
But yeah, after Trigger, like, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, and so, interesting point that we were also trying to discuss is the new generation now done, because there was supposed to be the new generation climax was supposed to be the end of new gen. Then it wasn't. Then Ultraman Zet was called Zet because it was supposed to be the last Ultraman show, because they were like, Taiga did so poorly, we got one more show and then we're done. We got to reevaluate. Mm-hmm. And then that didn't happen because Zet was so popular. And then there was going to be this Tiga Dina Gaia thing. And as far as everything Tsuburaya has said seems to indicate that Decker is the end of that TDG thing, retroactively saying that the G in Tiga in Trigger Decker G, that the G was Guts, not Gaia. Yeah.
Oh, weird. Okay. All
right. So, like,
I'm okay with it, but okay, guys.
I'm okay with that. I don't want them to touch Gaia.
Yeah, leave Gaia alone, please.
He's our precious guy.
I completely agree. It is just still one of those, like, okay, sure. Y'all have weird decisions, but I'm okay with this one.
I'm hoping that whatever's coming next is going to be kind of like a soft reboot, you
know? Yes. I really want another, like, one that I can point to as, like, yes, that is, like, a top tier, you know.
Yeah.
X-Gene Taiga. Like, I feel like every couple of years we get the one where, oh yeah, that's why I love Ultraman, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, I'm hoping we get that because, I mean, I like Zet. We had a whole podcast where I talked about my feelings for Trigger, and I think Decker was okay, but, like, I'm waiting for, like, another Taiga.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for something that'll really wow me again.
Yes. Yeah, I wanna scream like I screamed for X and sob like I sobbed for Taiga again, you know? Like,
I don't want to feel angry like how angry I felt while watching Trigger, is yes. what I'm saying.
Yeah. I will say, like, as far as new gen overall, you know, I have kind of mixed feelings. I find it a little exhausting sometimes where, like, I can watch a lot more Showa stuff just because I love the vibe of it and the toyeticness of the even though I will go to bat for the new gen stuff.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of people who are, oh, okay, well, no, toy, da, da, da. Like, I mean, but if you actually watch it, the people who are making it, those saddled with this burden, are doing pretty good jobs of it.
They're doing what they can, essentially.
Right, and they're turning out some really good stuff in spite of that. But that said, even though, like I said, I'll fight for it, it can be a little exhausting at times in a way that, like, watching, like, a classic shot on 16mm Showa thing is not. Yeah. That said, really love, like, the 4K cameras and stuff they've been using. I, like, especially compared to, like, the early DV stuff they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
The color grading and, like, the way, like, the effects don't look real, but they're really having some fun stuff with the kind of the surrealness of the effects that really appeals to me. I love the visual style of the new gen stuff overall, even if it's not always perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I you know, in my new overall new gen positives is, like, flashy special effects are awesome. I do like, especially when you got the right special effects team. Like, I always love when Taguchi's directing episodes because he always pushes the limits of what you can do with guys in suits interacting with real actors. D's Ultraman rule, as I mentioned before.
Mm-hmm.
And regular crossovers are actually pretty fun. Like, I enjoyed Trigger's crossover. Like, I enjoyed Kengo's crossover into Decker more than, like, just, like, his own show.
Yes.
I like the elements of the shows that really take on unique, like, Orb and Geed and, you know, shows that really play with the Ultraman formula in unique ways, even though it seems like the majority are sticking to the Defense Force. But those are some of the things that I really like about the new gen stuff.
Mm-hmm. A lot of experimentation, which is cool.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
There's very few shows in there where I'm like, oh, this is just, like, blank. There's, like, two shows where it's like, oh, this is just, like, what came before. Everything else, like, has kind of its own identity, which is cool.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I
Ginga is, like, in it's memorable. Like,
I think it's really charming. And one of the things that I kept wanting to say, but we moved away from Ginga, is that I love how in episode one he runs up to his best friend, is like, I'm Ultraman. It's so cool. And, like, they're geeking out about it. And I just, like, it was like, that was, like, for as frustrating as I found Ginga the first time I watched it. And for still as kind of a slog as it is, even now that I appreciate it more, I loved that, like, yeah, we're pals, you're my best friend, I'm going to tell you about this cool shit that I'm doing. And that was really charming and sweet. And I love that that was that the friendship aspect of the show was really charming.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, like, every, like, I can pretty much say good things about all of them, even if, well, except for Trigger. But like every other one, even the ones that, like, I know I've been kind of down on, it's just like, yeah, but on the other hand, it does this, and I really like that.
I think even Trigger has some stuff I like in it quite a bit. It's just a bad show. But no, it's just, like, I don't know. This is a pretty fun era of Ultraman. I don't think it's as good as the show or the Heisei stuff, but, like, there's quite a few shows in here that I would consider, like, really good or some of my favorites. And, like, even the ones I don't consider my favorites, I'm like,
for most of them, it's like, yeah, check this one out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like how polished the digital workflow has gotten since the days of Tiga Dyna Gaia. You know, like I feel like Max and Mabius really kind of got to a good happy medium, and then now I feel like this feels like really nicely integrated. But also you have people like Taguchi who are like so passionate about the analog angle that they do like the Gomez episode of X has some of the craziest in camera stuff. You know, they do a lot of fun stuff with compositing, especially like in Zet and things like that. But like some of the like tracking shots that they do in that Gomez episode are wild, you know, where they put X himself on a dolly and they like have the buildings moving on a different dolly and the camera on a different third dolly, you know?
Yeah.
Like it's wild. I just love that shit.
No, that's great stuff. And honestly, most of the negatives that I would say overall, we kind of already gone through. Like, mm-hmm. obviously it's more toyetic. Obviously there's, you know, a nostalgia focus, maybe due to lack of budget in some cases where they can't make a bunch of new suits. But like overall, I'm just happy that there's a constant flow of like good Ultraman stuff.
Yeah, I am too. And
a constant flow of like, I'm not here to throw shade at Kamen Rider and Super Sentai, but like the level of tokusatsu in Tsuburaya stuff has always been, in my opinion, just on mm-hmm. a different grade.
Yes. Oh, yeah. It's cinematic.
Yeah, right? Like, they have to build full sets. They have to do all this stuff, right? And so it's really cool to see that that's still being carried on, because, like, I mean, fuck, Toho's not going to do it anymore.
No.
Except for the occasional really cheap short for Godzilla Day that they'll then, you know, delete from the internet. After,
you know,
and that's... That like between the Rube movie and Shin, like that's the thing that's always been kind of gnawing at the back of my head. Like they're trying to go there is what I feel like, you know. And I really hope that we get several more shows before they do.
Yeah.
I'm glad they keep failing to cancel it.
Yeah.
Well, I think that as long as it's TV, I don't think they'll ever go full CG. But yeah. Like, you know, I definitely. I think it'd be hard pressed to see a full live action film go that way, but
I guess my worry is if they manage to transition to like film only or something, you know, where they're these are doing well enough, we don't need the TV show anymore, you know, like I mean maybe that won't happen, like I don't know,
don't jinx it, I don't want that to happen.
I just think that, you know, they shouldn't worry too much about being beholden to a certain grind, and there's like a comfortable rhythm in terms of like, yeah, a new Ultraman show begins every July and runs until December or something like that, and they don't need to do it that way, they just have been. And, you know, if they need to take more time to, you know, figure shows out, I would rather them do that than kind of rush
them out. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, no, totally. I totally get that. I feel like the economics of the situation will not allow that.
No, it feels like they probably have to. They're probably in a situation where they have to like bring out a yearly show, where it's not going to happen. So if that's the case, bring out a new generation Neos or something. I don't care.
Basically, since Orb, they've had this like Saturday morning time slot, right? So I think there's the danger of, you know, losing a time slot that's very lucrative.
That's why they have the recap shows, is it fills the same time slot, but gets them to 52 episodes a year, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like that. The other thing I realized that was kind of funny, I think it's since Orb. Like, I think it's really cool how, because they have to keep reusing suits, like, they get these weird crossovers between monsters that have never shared the screen kind of a thing. The more cynical side to that I realize is that I think since Orb, there's never been an episode where a monster, at least one monster that shows up on screen, doesn't have a toy. And I'm like, oh, that's why. And it's literally, if like they want the story to be about this monster, but they got to have this monster to show up because they don't want to make a toy of the other one. You know? Like, oh, I get it. Okay. I can't complain too much because we've gotten some really fun combinations of creatures. I'm like, oh, that's fun, you know?
Yeah, like, again, I think New Gen, the new monsters we see in New Gen are pretty cool.
Yes.
And I also think they handle a lot of the returning kaiju, for the most part, pretty good, pretty well.
Yes. No, yeah, like it's one of those, like, it's not really a complaint, per se. Like, it is just kind of like, oh, okay.
That's how it needs made, you know?
You know, like, if that's what gets it done, like, I can't complain too much. Even though I do miss having a brand new monster much more frequently, you know, I am happy with Deck where we started to get more new monsters back in the mix, you know. Yeah. New Gen Ultraman, good. Go watch Taiga, everyone, please.
Fingers crossed the remaining, especially Taiga, you know, get proper distribution here sooner rather than later.
Yeah, Taiga needs a Blu-ray. So does Zed, and I now Trigger doesn't need a Blu-ray.
I mean, look, if Trigger getting a Blu-ray gets me a Taiga Blu-ray, so be it.
I will buy Trigger. I'm sorry. I will.
I will. I don't know if we talked about it on the Trigger podcast, but the Trigger movie, while, you know, it wasn't a great movie, it has a scene where the beefy Ultramen have a wrestling match in a wrestling ring.
What?
That absolutely rules. It's cool.
And with that, I got to bounce a little early, but it was fun talking about Ultraman with you guys again. Let's do this again.
Yeah, I should probably head on as well.
I think we're wrapping up. So I think everybody kind of said at the start of the show where people can find them if they need to. So unless there's anything else we want to bring up, we can.
No, just Xenofauna with an X.
Easter's Kaiju Compendium. I'm going to try to get a Tiga article out this year. Fingers crossed.
Looking forward to it.
Hell yeah. Well, cool. This has been great. Thank you for inviting me on.
Yeah, thanks for having us on, Kevin.
Thank you.
All right.
Good night, everyone.
See ya.